Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
You have found it, ladies and gentlemen, the front lines in the info war, the very tip of the spear. I am Alex Jones. I'm your wartime broadcaster in the fight for our free republic against the forces of the Allied Crime Syndicate, the global crime syndicate known as the New World Order, carrying out their worldwide banking Ponzi scheme to bring down the free world and usher in a planetary world government, in the words of the Financial Times of London last week, that is anti-democratic, ruled by the autocratic means of the private banking families. Congressman Ron Paul is scheduled to be joining us coming up in the next segment till the bottom of the hour. We then have Mike Rivera for his once a month visit joining us coming up in the second hour. And then for 2 hours today, we have Alan Watt of Cutting Through the Matrix joining us as well on this December 17th, 2008 worldwide broadcast. In the news, the individual that threw his shoes at George Bush is facing attempted murder charges in Iraqi court and will serve at least 15 years in prison for hurling the shoes at Bush, the international press is reporting. So there you have it. Kill 1.5 million Iraqis over 5.5 years. You're called a neocon hero. Throw shoes at the front man for the mass murderers, and you are charged with basically a law in Iraq, dealing with the attempted murder of a Iraqi president or foreign president. We'll get more into that later. Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper believes a depression is coming. We'll be going over that report. Also, IMF chief issues stark warning on economic crisis and says worldwide riots will soon take place if the economy is not jump-started. That's funny, from the organization that put out internal memos about how to implode economies to cause riots so all confidence is lost and then everything can be bought up by these vultures for pennies on the dollar. Continuing with a powerful and very important report from PrisonPlanet.com by Steve Watson, Army Strategic Shock Report says troops may be needed to quell U.S. civil unrest. The Army's being specific about asking for rules of engagement against the American people and saying they're needing to basically prepare to attack the American people. We'll go over this from the Army War College itself later in the broadcast. Also, top executives, quote, would roll up their sleeves to fight cyber war, according to think tank study. Barack Obama has sworn to kill the old internet and bring us onto Internet 2 that's highly regulated and controlled. And they are now creating a cyberspace committee made up of top IT CEOs so that they can coordinate the destruction of the free internet. Also, all over the nation, counties, cities, states are raising different types of fines and fees and taxes. And in New York, they're announcing 88 new fees and taxes. 88 new fees and taxes. 18% tax on soda, iPod tax, movie theater tax, sporting event tax, taxi tax, bus tax, limo tax, cable TV tax, radio tax, clothing tax, on and on and on. Total feudalism, total serfdom, squeezing the people into abject poverty. And that is the governor wanting that statewide. They've got more than 50 new taxes they're proposing in New York City as well. Back into the financial front, Citibank's computers down, blocking account info. Customers of New York-based Citibank, that's laid off 30-plus thousand employees and in deep financial trouble, lost access to much of their account information because of a computer outage, they're claiming. Now, we've seen this with other banks before they go under, so we'll continue to follow that. And Madoff tries to stay out of jail as probe widens. It's well above $50 billion he stole, predominantly from pension funds and Jewish groups. That's the former head of the NASDAQ. That's these criminals running our society. It's all coming up today. Mike Rivera. And, of course, Congressman Ron Paul, as well as Alan Watt. Important broadcast on the 17th of December, 2008. Our flagship websites are PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com.
He's the T-Rex of political talk.
Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are live. Thank you so much for joining us. It is December 17th, 2008. We'll be live here for the next 2 hours and 52 minutes. Congressman Ron Paul is our guest until the bottom of the hour. He said time and time again, going back many years ago, it's in my film Matrix of Evil, when he gave a speech here in Austin, saying that when the Federal Reserve System collapses the economy, when they go into hyperinflation, they will either succeed in setting up their world government out of that crisis, or we will succeed in laying the groundwork to educate the public about the fact that these supposed saviors are really the author of our financial doom, the doom of our prosperity. We are now at that crossroads. This is the critical time for all those that love liberty to educate their friends, family, neighbors, the media about what we truly face. That's why the Federal Reserve has dispatched their bank governors and thousands of their employees to public schools, to corporate conferences, to universities, to brainwash the public that they're actually our saviors. And so we are joined now to the bottom of the hour by Congressman Ron Paul. Sir, you've said this is a key time for us, and on the House Banking Committee, you're one of the lone voices really exposing what's happening. What is this opportunity, and how do we do away with the Federal Reserve?
I think everybody knows we're in a crisis right now, and they have now gotten to the point where they don't trust the government, which is healthy. A lot of people are begging and pleading, and they're lining up. But, you know, the average guy outside of Washington, especially so many of the young people, are realizing that it's all been a hoax, and this is the time to really expose the hoax. So although I've been trying to do that for 30 years to prevent the problems, I think we have a real opportunity now to direct our attention to the real culprit, and that is those who control the monetary system, those who counterfeit our money and cause the financial bubbles and then the recessions, and now they're working real hard on a depression. So and it's easy to become despondent, and I know a lot of people say, why waste your time? You can't do this, and we should just escape and buy guns and all this kind of thing. But, you know, I think we should see this as an opportunity because we have made inroads. I think computers and websites and talk radio and the Internet has given us a real opportunity to spread our message. So hopefully I'm not being overly optimistic, but I see it as a chance for us to get our message out.
Congressman, specifically, 8 weeks ago, Congressman Sherman, Senator Inhofe is now on record that in closed joint committee meeting, that Secretary of the Treasury Paulson and Bernanke threatened them with physical martial law, not House rules martial law, but physical martial law, and said there will be a depression next Monday, a total stock market collapse if you don't do this. And they promised the public total transparency in the banker bill, but I read it. It was clearly a takeover. Now, Bloomberg reports, as of a week and a half ago, $8.5 trillion stolen. The Bloomberg original lawsuit going back 6 weeks ago when $2 trillion had gone up missing, the Federal Reserve is telling Congress, telling the people, refusing FOIA request, saying it's secret where the trillions went. Can you speak to, A, the fact that they literally terrorized the public and the Congress to go along with the banker takeover bill? And then now, in the aftermath, we see a financial dictatorship forming with the Financial Times of London last week calling for world government and saying the bankers shall be the rulers of the world government.
And this is the whole point, and that is governments that want to take over and undermine our liberties and have more power always use the fear factor. They did this leading up, you know, to the war in Iraq. Remember how they said, you know, if we don't go in there, such and such is going to happen. So they build up the fear, and they do it on foreign policy. Now they're doing it on economic, monetary, and financial problems. And yet the dilemma that we have is that we're scared, too. There should be a lot of fear. It's knowing the truth that counts. They use the weapon of fear dishonestly, but in many ways, we have to talk about the dangers, too. And we should think, I guess, us telling people the truth and being more realistic rather than just beating the drums of fear so that people capitulate and do anything the government wants. But it is very dangerous. The big question is do they have any possible answer to this? They scare everybody. Here they've committed $8.5 trillion. They're stealing from the people. They're destroying the dollar. The dollar went down 7% in the last week, and they're just making problems so much worse. And the ultimate threat to us is not only the loss of wealth and destruction of the dollar. The ultimate threat is the loss of our liberties. I've always said that if we lost everything tomorrow, if we had our liberty and got rid of the IRS and had sound money, I think we could all go back to work and realizing that everything we earn, we can keep. I mean, we've become so wealthy so quick, we could overcome this mess. But unfortunately, it's an uphill struggle, but we have to fight it.
Congressman, specifically, I mean, you are the worldwide leader standard bearer for exposing the international banking cartel. Specifically, is this economic terrorism to say we're going to have a depression if you don't give us tens of trillions of dollars and then basically take on these omnipotent powers, as Congressman Kucinich in committee a few weeks ago called it? I mean, is this not hardcore criminality? Don't we need to point out that these are criminals, just like Madoff, the former head of the NASDAQ, running his own Ponzi scheme with the brokerage firms? It's now coming out that it's system-wide. I mean, don't we need to call for grand juries to do investigations and indict some of these people? Because if we don't do that, they're still going to continue to pose as our saviors.
Yeah, and we should, but some are more culpable than others, because some know exactly what they're doing, but there are so many people that still exist that do get talked in, just like very, very good people were talked into voting to give the president power to go to war, and they were just too naive and went along with it. A lot of people are doing that now. They didn't want to vote for the bailout, and they heard those threats, and they said, oh, my God, I don't want to be on record of doing this. So they are terrorized by this. But, you know, if we go after Madoff, which we should, we don't need, you know, more regulatory agencies. What we need is just the enforcement of fraud laws and point it out and go after these guys. But, you know, in a way, this is small potatoes. He's small potatoes compared to the fraud of the Federal Reserve. What about the fraud? What about the Ponzi scheme called Social Security? Who are you going to indict for Social Security?
Well, let me ask you this question. Now Congress is talking about taking over even private IRAs in hearings and then sending the money back to the people as a government check, but taxing it. I mean, they're clearly getting ready to raid the pension funds and Social Security. How do we stop that?
Well, we have to, you know, be aware of it, and as it approaches, we have to get the people organized, but the question will be, are there more people that want the money or more people holding the IRA and 401ks? And unfortunately, there's probably more people on the dole, and they might just not want to fight it. And, you know, with the crowd moving in, as bad as the last administration was, when it comes to economic matters and tax matters, I mean, we have even a tougher road to hoe, you know, from here on out. So, that one will be hard to fight. But I think what will happen is, before they do that, I think the crisis will build to such a point and the dollar collapse will come, because I think it would take them a year or so to do that, and it would just add more fuel to the fire. But right now, things are moving rather rapidly, and who knows what will come even in the next 3 months.
Congressman, did we lose your phone? Okay, he'll be calling back in. He was going to be at his home today, but then he had to go somewhere. So I believe we lost the congressman's cell number. He's probably taking his wife to the doctor or something. We will get the congressman back on with us right now. Guys, go ahead and call Jesse Benton. Hey, guys. Go ahead and call Jesse Benton, and thank you. And make sure that the congressman's able to call back in. He'll do that. Because I had the next big question for him. Dealing with the fact that they engage in economic terrorism. They came out, and the president and the Democrats and Barack Obama, so Bush and Obama, said that if you don't pass this, we're going to have a depression. And that was the first time they uttered those words, and that's when the market plunged, if you remember, 1,000 points in one afternoon. And that was economic terrorism, plain and simple. Congressman, we lost you there on your cell phone. And John, to catch that time back up, I'm going to skip this network break. This is a network break. So for stations out there, we're skipping this break. You'll get your break at the bottom of the hour. Congressman, good to have you back. Specifically, sir, on record from you on the Banking Committee, was it not economic terrorism to have the president and the president-elect at the time, Barack Obama, and others saying, before he was even elected, if you don't pass this, we're going to have a depression? That then introduced this idea to people and accelerated the markets dropping 1,000 points the day they said that. Was that not economic terrorism?
Obviously it was, and they should be held responsible for this. But like I mentioned, they do that all the time. That's their technique, is always to build the tremendous fear up in the hearts of the people, whether it has to do with foreign policy and the reason we have to go to war now on economic matters, terrorize the people and say that we are your saviors and we're the only ones that can take care of you. The only thing that can counteract this is a different philosophy, a convincing argument that free markets and sound money and no Federal Reserve and limited taxes, the things that made America great. We have to get more people and endorse our views, and I think the opportunity is coming because the system that they're trying to patch together right now will not work.
Well, specifically, they promised this would fix things, but it only gets worse the more the bailouts continue. And now they're talking about, quote, bailing out the auto industry, but that's not even what it is. They're going to nationalize it and have Obama's cabinet cronies in there controlling that as a political tool and literally taking over the unions. I mean, how dangerous is that, sir?
Well, it's tremendously dangerous because although we've been creeping in that direction, this is an endorsement of nationalization. If they keep token ownership with the corporations, which they probably will, then it's called fascism. And it's building up on this so-called partnership. This morning on one of the business stations, they were bragging about how great Bernanke was, and he should be called the man of the year because he understands business, and he's a good businessman, and he knows how to invest his money. And I thought, that is the most dangerous statement in the world. It's a confession that now the Federal Reserve and government and Treasury, they're bosom buddies of corporations. And that, to me, is about as close to fascism as you can get.
It is as close to fascism as you can get classically, and I think the public's starting to recognize this. We have the Prime Minister of Canada right now, Stephen Harper, saying that it looks like we're going into a depression. We have one of the, the chief of the IMF saying we're probably going to have riots worldwide if they, quote, don't get things going. But if you look at the IMF World Bank documents that got leaked to the BBC in late 2001, they state that they cut off liquidity by design to implode markets so that they can then come in and buy things up for pennies on the dollar. Can you speak to that?
Well, not clearly, because I don't know if that's true. I suspect that it might be, but I also think that this is such a big bubble that even those with a lot of money, you know, get a little bit nervous about what's happening. The one thing for sure is they're pretty capable of shifting. So if it goes sour, worse than they expect, because I don't think they have perfect control, but they're always available, and they do have cash. They're not arguing there's a little bit of cash, and just think of all this new credit. So there's a lot of money sitting there ready to be bought up, and it won't be the average guy on the street that, you know, lost everything in the stock market. It's going to be these people who got out a little sooner or got new credit from the Fed. Goldman Sachs will be around for a while, and the money market accounts have trillions of dollars, so somebody is going to buy this up, but it's not going to be a return to the market economy at the rate we're going.
Well, I mean, the basic fundamental, and I'd like to get your take on this, Congressman. We're talking to Congressman Ron Paul from Texas. Dealing with this, I mean, clearly the authors of the economic collapse we're witnessing in the worldwide depression that this whole crisis is spiraling into are now posing and positioning themselves as the saviors. And the mainstream media, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, every time I'm watching a banking committee, the House banking, Senate banking, every time I'm watching one of the subcommittees, they will show Kashkari, they will show Paulson, they will show other operatives of the system. they will show their propaganda, but as soon as it cuts to the chairman or to yourself or to any other member of the committees, they cut away. So clearly the big banking cartels are controlling and owning much of the media. So how do we get around that when they won't let the public understand what's really happening?
Well, you have to recognize it, and you have to do your best to get around it. Although I complain just as you are complaining, I'm still getting a lot more interviews now than I did a year ago on this issue. So it's not, I'm not completely blocked out, but there's a lot of what you say that goes on. But then we have to go around them, if nothing else. What I fear is them closing down the Internet. That, to me, would be the big problem, you know, if they take that away from us. So we've been able to reach millions of people through the Internet, and you reach a lot of people on the radio. So if they start cracking down on radios and Internet and shortwave and all these things, then that's when we're really in big trouble.
Well, as you know, they've openly in Congress talked about bringing back the Fairness Doctrine, this Internet 2 doctor. I'm sure you know, but for the audience, they are shifting basically all the new upgrades to Internet 2, where private corporations own it and control it, and they admit they're not going to allow free speech. They're only going to give people a few thousand websites and not the hundreds of millions that are currently available. So what they're doing is hijacking the web. We're going back to the full audience. Here we go. Okay, Congressman Ron Paul, and we've only got about 5 minutes left with you right now, sir. Specifically, there is an Army War College report out, and you know about NORTHCOM announcing 20,000 combat troops for the streets of America. They're openly stating it is for civil unrest and rioting. The new report's called The Knows and Unknowns, Unconventional Strategic Shock and Defense Strategy Development. The Army openly says in here on the Army War College that they are preparing to engage the American people. Posse Comitatus has not been fully removed. I mean, we're now seeing open martial law being discussed and being debated as if it is the solution to the financial crisis. And under the new Defense Department directive put out the 24th by Gates, sir, they're saying that governors will be under the control of the president and will serve at his pleasure. Can you speak to that?
Well, I think what you're doing is just pointing out the danger of using the fear factor for our foreign policy and our financial problems, and now they do it for your physical safety, which to me is just a continuation of the 9/11, post-9/11 attitude, because that was when they started getting past all the legislation that they had proposed for so many years. Now they're saying, well, we're going to have chaos in the street. The terrorists aren't going to be people coming from outside. The terrorists are going to be our own people. There's going to be chaos here in the streets as a consequence of the financial crisis. So therefore, we have to militarize our communities. And once again, it's that attitude that government is our savior, and they can't save us. I mean, all the SEC and all the regulations can't protect us against fraud. And all the policemen in the world can't protect us in our homes.
Congressman, continuing in the time we have left, specifically, they are saying they're preparing to engage the American people. Is this unconstitutional? Is this treason?
Well, it's obviously not constitutional. And depending on how it comes about, it could very well be treasonous. But on how the confrontation comes, of course, they would never say that they're confronting. They might use those terms, but they might say we're confronting violence and we're going there to save you. We don't want your cities burnt down, so therefore we're going to put our troops in there to prevent these problems. So, you know, just think of all the harm that they've done over these last, especially last 100 years. How often do they really get hauled into the court? And what about the illegality of the whole monetary system? Nothing really happens. So it depends on what the people understand and believe in that really count. So we cannot depend on the Congress or our courts to save us.
Well, sir, going back, over the last 20 years, as you know, they've been covertly getting rid of Posse Comitatus, merging the military and police, and now they're acting like they just set this up last week. This is part of a larger strategic plan.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they did pass a couple of years ago, I think it was in 96, in the supplemental, serious erosion of Posse Comitatus, and it was finally exposed, and then it was, in a way, reversed. But that's just tokenism. I mean, if they feel like doing something wrong, they just go ahead and do it. So the fact that they reversed that in a token way shouldn't reassure us. because when push comes to shove, they're going to ignore it. But they would change the law when they get the opportunity. And this new administration, I'm sure, would be quite capable of doing it, even without the Congress. You know about executive orders.
And PDD 51. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sir, in closing, two final questions in the 2 minutes we have left with you. Specifically, did you see the article in the Financial Times of London admitting that they've covertly set up world government, the headline, and now for world government, admitting, I mean, do they need to apologize, all the people that called us kooks, because we were reading the internal white papers?
Well, no, they're not going to apologize. I didn't happen to see that article, but, you know, when Bernanke was before the committee the last time, I wanted to know what kind of international plans he had, you know, for the currency and a world central bank. Of course, he has no obligation to answer any of those questions. He has a moral obligation, but under the law, he doesn't. Under the Constitution, he should. So, yeah, I think those plans are being laid. People say, well, it's not going to happen. But, you know, they used to say that the European Union wouldn't ever happen. So I think we should take this stuff seriously. And this morning, there was a pretty strong announcement by the IMF that their vehicle is going to be these SDRs, these special drawing rights. This is what they used to call paper gold, will be the worldwide reserve currency. They tried to do it. It didn't work. But now they see another opening to move.
So it's world government oven by the bankers. Sir, as a rallying cry, we can defeat this world government, can't we? What do the people need to do?
Well, the truth is on our side, and also the economic policy is on our side. The most important thing is information to the people so they know what we're doing, know what's in their best interest, not to have people in Congress keep voting for bailouts and this pretense that we're going to take care of everybody. So knowledge is the only answer to the problems that we have today.
And as you said earlier, they are coming after the Internet.
Yep, that's what that is my greatest fear, because we'll never be able to control the three majors, but right now we can get around them. The more knowledge is out there, the more we can make inroads to the average person that does appear.
Congressman,
they can't control everybody's mind.
I want you to have a great Christmas. Let me say bye to you during the break.
We are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchy to get people actually to love their servitude. People can be made to enjoy a state of affairs which, by any decent standard, they ought not to enjoy.
Perhaps you had better start from the beginning. Perhaps you had better start from the beginning. Perhaps you had better start from the beginning.
Too many kids are what's making the planet worse.
A lot of these kids come from bad gene pools. They don't have stable parents making good decisions.
Mercury-containing vaccines may help, not harm kids, according to two new studies in the journal Pediatrics. These new studies suggest that the opposite, that the preservatives may actually be associated with improved behavior and mental performance.
Fluoride in water is supposed to fight tooth decay, but could it also cause cancer?
Turns out the government had the right under U.S. law to conduct secret testing on the American public under specific conditions.
We have to work the dark side, or we want to spend time in the shadows.
Any attempt to achieve world order must be the work of the devil. Well, join me. I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan.
There's a need for a new world order. Someday, in the next few years, a solution will emerge.
Kissinger on record said they would create a worldwide economic collapse to usher in world government. But first, they had to militarize the police and condition the public to accept secret arrest and martial law. We are now entering into the land of world government, run by psychopathic control freak tyrants. You can see the enemy standards all around us, the all-seeing eye, as their dark hordes march against us. If we rally, if the people stand up and resist, if we speak out and cry from the rooftops that the enemy is upon us, we can rise up and defeat the new world order. If God be with us, who can stand against us? I ask you now, Make the choice. Decide whether you're with the Republic and Liberty and Freedom or if you are with the Worldwide Crime Syndicate known as the New World Order. We are here live Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. You have reached the front lines of the info war. Man, Ron Paul agreed before he came on air. I was talking to him during the break when we first got him on about coming on for a full hour sometime early next year to go over his plan to defeat the Federal Reserve. He's introduced a bill for the last decade plus in Congress, and he's gotten close to 70 co-sponsors on that to remove the private Federal Reserve. Now, either we remove this group that has engineered the collapse we're seeing, or they are going to bring us into the next level of their tyranny. This doesn't sit there stagnant at one point. It either gets worse or we push back and things get better. They will give you no quarter. And I want to talk to the military and police. Don't you want to be with the Republic? Don't you want to be pro-Second Amendment? Don't you want to be part of the winning team, the good guys? Don't you want to be against secret arrest and torture? In your heart, in your soul, not just the evidence, but in your gut, you know this Al-Qaeda business is fake and staged. You know real crises like the Texas-Mexico, Arizona-Nevada border with Mexico collapsing and thousands dead every year is the serious issue. You know the issue of taxation and regulation and control and face scanning cameras and cameras in school bathrooms and cameras inside the stalls at rest stops and all this surveillance going in. You know it's evil. You know, I mean, even the uniforms, the black ski mask, the armored vehicles, the microwave guns, the new heroes on television torture children. I mean, they're twisting us. They're teaching us that evil is good. You know in your heart 50 million abortions since 1974 is evil. You know in your heart killing millions of Iraqis and 18 years of siege against that nation is evil. And you know it's going to blow back against you, and it is now. The elite will kill and enslave in Iraq and Afghanistan and Serbia and launch sneak attacks against Russia. The elite will stage all of these horrible events, and you think that you are immune from that? You think you're separate from that? You think they won't do similar things like that here? It is their ruthless, bloodthirsty, cunning instinct to do this. That's why they're in control. That's why they are in power. They believe in survival of the fittest, social Darwinism. They believe it's their right to rule over us, and they have destroyed our morals so that we're more easily controlled, so that we don't stick together, so that we're all isolated. We have to come together under a culture of liberty and freedom against the New World Order. Now, you just heard Congressman Ron Paul telling you this is a New World Order takeover, an engineered collapse. They are bringing us into world government. We must stop it now. It is in hundreds of newspapers. It is openly being announced that the military is going to be used against the American people for combat against the American people. The story is up on PrisonPlanet.com. Army Strategic Shock Report says troops may be needed to quell U.S. civil unrest. Known unknowns, unconventional strategic shock in defense strategy development states that it is a battle plan to make war against the American people, and they set this up decades ago. This did not just materialize. How long did I warn you? How long did I specifically tell you? How long did we lay out that they would first stage terror attacks, then get a police state in place, then have an economic collapse, knowing starving people and jobless people would riot? Then that gives them the pretext to come in with total control, and that's how they would sell it. And now in their own Army reports and in their official directives, they are saying their job is to suppress the American people and to make sure that the criminals like Madoff, who has stolen, first they said $10 billion, then $50 billion, now some reports are saying the exposure could be above $100 billion, ripping off police, fire department, teacher funds. There's a huge list of it. It's mainly pension funds of states, counties, and cities. Upwards of 100, and every day it goes up by tens of billions. You know, he got arrested a few days ago. This broke last week. They said it was a few hundred million. Then it was a billion. Then it was 10 billion. Now it's 50 billion. Now they're saying it could be over 100 billion. By the time they're done, I don't know, 300, 400, 500 billion. I mean, who knows? You know, they said it would be a $700 billion banker takeover bailout. Now it's 8.5 trillion. And that was 2 weeks ago, two Wednesdays ago. Bloomberg reported The Congress reported, the San Francisco Chronicle reported that it was $8.5 trillion. We don't know now. It was $1.3 trillion on average a week being stolen in the first 6.5 weeks. We do not know what it is now. We have no idea. They're saying they're not even going to release basic numbers. Lawsuits have been filed. The Congress has demanded to see it, and they've been told you don't get to see anything. And Alan Greenspan, the former chairman of the private Fed, goes on Lair NewsHour and says, we are above the law. No one can indict us. No one can touch us. Now, Madoff's in trouble because he ripped off a lot of powerful elites in the United States. CNBC reports that around half of the $100 million was from prominent Jewish groups and Holocaust charities and other things, Steven Spielberg and others. And they're saying that maybe those groups might get some of the money back. Now, this is the former head of the NASDAQ, the second biggest stock exchange in the world. This is not some fly-by-night criminal, and it come out in the news today in the Associated Press, CNBC. I have the articles right here in front of me. They're up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, where they're going, oh, my God, this was completely sanctioned by the banks and brokerage firms. Of course it was. This is what they do. And then a bunch of Madoff's people and charities and cities said, okay, we want to go ahead and cash out of some of our money. Not even all of their investments, and he said, oh, it's not there. And then the investigation began. But it turns out that the Securities and Exchange Commission, a year ago, people weren't getting their money from Madoff. And people went to the Mr. Cox at the SEC, and he said, you know what? We're not going to investigate them. But Mark Cuban, and I couldn't talk about this at the time, in early 2007, but we were in discussions with Mark Cuban, Charlie Sheen and his manager. I mean, there I was, literally at meetings at Charlie Sheen's house, discussing all this. But now it's public, and you know, there I am with the biggest lawyer in Hollywood, and there we all are discussing this, and it was the fact that Cuban was being threatened. One of the other producers coming in was being threatened over all of this, over the fact that Mark Cuban was about to put out Loose Change Final Cut in movie theaters and on DVD nationwide and worldwide. And remember how I'm kind of hesitating here because I can talk about this now, but I'm trying to be careful about what I say or what I get into because it's so incredible. I mean, this is the type of stuff that I got to be very careful about what I say because it's been in the New York Times now, some of the basics. But one of the other producers' brother, it was an Air Force general. And when this wasn't even on the news yet, he calls up the producer and says, if you care about your kids, you better not do that project, showing that the phone lines were clearly tapped. Then O'Reilly and others, CNN host, others, go on TV, not just Fox, and say, do not make this film, Charlie Sheen. Do not voice this. Do not be involved with this, or you will pay. And basically, mafia-esque threatened him on the news. That part's public. And then Mark Cuban said that he had been threatened and that he wanted to put out controversial films, but that this was just a little too much and that he was pulling out. And I just went on air, ignored the whole thing. People laughed in our own movement because they don't really care about some of them about fighting for liberty and freedom. It was like, oh, good, Alex has failed to get that out in theaters, ha, ha, ha. Which was truly disgusting and very, very saddening to me. And now it's come out in the New York Times that the Securities and Exchange Commission sent an email, and I happen to know made phone calls, separate individuals, to Mark Cuban saying, if you don't want a magnifying glass looking at everything you're doing, and if you don't want to, basically get in a lot of trouble, and one of the emails is now public, you better not be involved in this. So imagine having national TV threaten you, the Securities and Exchange Commission openly violating the First Amendment, terrorizing people in Hollywood not to put this film out. And now it's come out in the New York Times, the email, that Mark Cuban was threatened. Now Mark Cuban is worth billions of dollars, what, $3 or $4 billion, owns a major basketball team, the Mavericks in Dallas, puts out, you know, more than 20 films and documentaries a year. This was just one project he was involved in. And that's just flat-out tyranny. And they claim that, oh, he sold some stock and you know, made $800,000 or something because he knew it was going to be going down. And he's fighting it. He's going to court. He's battling. And because if you look at the evidence, he didn't do anything wrong. Now, meanwhile, Madoff is allowed to steal close to, right now they're saying, it'll grow, $100 billion. He's allowed to rip off police, fire department, teacher funds, do whatever he wants. They go to the SEC a year ago, right around the same time this was all happening, and they go to him, and people complain, and the SEC says, we're not going to investigate. But then for political purposes, they threatened him a year ago, started an investigation of him over a year ago, and have now indicted him for this. And it's all because of being involved with Charlie Sheen and myself and Dylan Avery and Jason Burmess and others. But it was myself that got Charlie in touch with the Loose Change guys. We had him out to California a couple times that got, you know, that whole ball rolling. And so people talk about, oh, you know, Alex, if you were for real, you'd be under more heat. You'd have more things happening to you. Folks, number one, it's the evidence. It's the information. It's the knowledge that we're putting out that matters. That's A. B, I'm not going to advertise the hell I've gone through to be at the tip of the spear. But we do need your support. I mean, I've been physically attacked. I've been threatened. I've been, you know, audited. I have constant death threats. People calling my wife up, other women saying, Alex got me pregnant, or Alex gave me a disease, trying to freak her out. You know, just feds calling and doing this. Oh, hello, is Alex there? This is Jenny. Oh, well, this is his wife. May I leave a message for him? Oh, well, that's impossible. We're getting married. I'm pregnant. You know, I mean, just guys in clown suits in government cars driving around, flipping me off, threatening me, confronting me on the streets. I mean, just insane Hollywood movie I'm living. But we ignore it and continue on with the fight. But you want to see the type of stuff we're under? Producers having their children threatened before this was ever public. Months later, O'Reilly on the news and others attacking us, saying, we better watch it. We're going to get it. You better not do this if you know what's good for you. Mafia-esque threats on the air, like La Cosa Nostra. The SEC saying, you better not do this, Cuban, and phone calls and emails, or you are going to jail, pal, to make him not make that film. And then, when the film doesn't get put out in theaters, but we fight and do release it on DVD, people all over the supposed Patriot movement, who are really feds, cheer and get up and say, oh, they're liars. They never talked to Mark Cuban. They're liars. Charlie Sheen wasn't involved. They were never going to make it. They're a bunch of liars. Well, now it's in the New York Times. Now you know the hell we went through. Who knows what hell we'll go through in the future to bring you that information. And that's why Charlie Sheen is such an amazing individual. There's other stuff I know about that you couldn't believe that I was eyewitness to. That I was eyewitness to. Well, I mean, she put it in the divorce thing that she went public and made all that stuff up about him because 9/11 truth and he was involved in it. That was in the divorce. I can say that because it's public. But you have no idea what this guy went through. You haven't heard one tenth. But he doesn't want me to tell you about it, so I'm not going to tell you about it. He stood there and took all those lies and all the worst things they can say about you in the media. We knew Republican operatives were running the whole thing. We know their names, all of it. And Charlie Sheen sat there and took the whole deal when the guy makes hundreds of millions of dollars. And all of that was threatened. Everything was threatened. And he never backed off. He was told, basically, you need to back off and say that you never said this. You need to go back on 9/11 truth. And then O'Reilly went on the news and lied and said, Charlie Sheen has gone back on 9/11 truth. And Charlie called me and gave me a statement to post where he said, I have not gone back on 9/11 truth. This is completely made up. So when he refused to go back on it, they turned all that media dirt loose on him. They went after him. They tried to destroy him. And then they tried to go back and announce that he'd said he wasn't with 9/11 Truth with no evidence, was just made up, and then he had to go public again and say, no, I'm still with 9/11 Truth, and then they came after him again with things you couldn't imagine, and he didn't back off. Now, that's courage, folks, when you're a wealthy person, when you've got a lot to lose, when you're being threatened in ways you can't imagine until you've been there, and he stuck it out. He stayed with the truth, and he did a great job. So we salute Charlie Sheen. We salute everybody. We salute Mark Cuban. We don't blame him for backing out. The point is, Charlie Sheen never backed out of that, and I never backed out of it, and I'm never backing down. This is reality. This is standing up against tyranny. We'll come back, get into financial news, and then we got a bunch of guests coming up. Madoff can steal $100 billion and finally gets in trouble, but they sure are persecuting Mark Cuban now. That's a message to everybody. You don't make films. You don't produce films. You don't let the popular culture know the truth, or we'll destroy you. And that's why they're destroying governors and other people right now. We are toying with death here, but I'm not toying with it. I've made the decision to fight tyranny, to fight evil. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've got at the 8 after Mike Rivero coming up, and then for 2 hours, we've got Alan Watt joining us today. We'll have open phones with both those gentlemen. But for this segment, the next, yesterday, Ted Anderson 2 weeks ago, listen to me carefully, okay? This is reality. Ted Anderson, who owns Genesis and Midas Resources and makes all this possible, he offered you gold at 740. He bought the gold at 740, so it was priced in at 740 when gold was 840. It's 880 last time I checked a few minutes ago. So that is $140 above. That gold's all gone now. He sold the gold that he bought at 740. I mean, you could not find a deal like that anywhere. Everywhere else, it's at huge premiums if you can get it. He has a new group of coins that he bought at 773. That is still over $100 less than gold is currently trading for. When Ted buys gold early and then it goes up, he passes on all those savings to you. That's how he does this. You will not find a deal like this anywhere. And yesterday I put the call out to people, and folks didn't really call. They didn't want to get francs that were, by the way, uncirculated. I mean, this is insane. And British sovereigns. Folks, this you will not find a deal like this anywhere. You are insane. Now it's gone up $30, but it doesn't matter. Gold itself has shot up $30 today, so it's over $100. What it is currently trading for, under $100. Ted, again, up until a few months ago, you've never done deals anywhere near this. This is the fourth time you've offered a deal that is $100 under what it should be per ounce of gold. Ted, do we have words to describe to people how good this deal is?
You're explaining it like it is. I can tell you right now, the thing about it is I've never had a market like this that I could do this in. I mean, the United States government is making it so easy for me, and the Federal Reserve. They just cut interest rates down to zero.
The lowest it's ever been, and that will kill the dollar and T-bills.
That's what's happening right now internationally. The dollar's falling right now, just drop below 80.
And the Federal Reserve has announced that they're now, because the dollar's going to die, issue their own T-bills that do have interest. So they're killing the economy so they can be the only lender.
Well, any gold dealer in their right mind right now would go, hey, I'm going to buy as much as I can at this point because my customers are going to want to buy this $100 higher. You know, right now the market is just saying, hey, I mean, it's in bold print. You don't need to be a great economist to figure this one out. It's right there. Buy gold, buy gold. I mean, what more do you need?
Quickly, Ted, tell folks the new group of coins you've got at $100+ under what the market currently is.
Here's what I have right now. I've got the British sovereigns. They're at 252, which is a little higher, but that is based upon that 770 price range. And then I have the francs at 203. And Alex, I just looked. I still have the walking liberties at 840, and silver now is well today it hit a high of 1159. It's up almost $3. That's the same price I was offering them for when silver was down in the $9 range. So I mean, You can't find a better time to be buying gold, and you can't have better fundamentals to tell you to do it. Now you have to move.
800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. They are there now. Ted, how long?
I'll hold it till midnight. I don't know what's going to happen after that. The market is way too volatile for me to know. I hope I can offer this tomorrow, but I can't make a promise.
Again, it's gone up, folks, but it's still $100 under the market.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Alan Watt and Mike Rivero are coming up, and open phones and all the most important news of the day, financial, military, you name it, in these incredibly interesting times. Can't believe I'm a radio and TV host in such just incredible times. Listen, Ted Anderson for the last 2 weeks has been offering gold at the price he bought it at, a huge buy at $740, priced into the market. Yesterday, he did his final offer with the last coins he had at that price when it was $100 above that, passing on those savings. Earlier in the week, he made another buy at 770. And it's now up at 880. So that is still over $100. Now, everywhere else, if you can find gold and silver, they've got 10, 20, 30, 40, 50% premiums on it. There is no premium. This is literally at spot, ladies and gentlemen, which you can't find anywhere. Okay, this is an insane deal, and you cannot trust the bankers. You cannot trust paper gold. You can't trust any of it. It's all been infected by derivatives and the private Federal Reserve worldwide running derivative scams. Ted, tell folks about the coins and the prices.
Well, again, British sovereigns, 252. Francs, currently right now, 203. The Walking Liberties, Alex, $8.40. Per roll of 20, it comes to 168. The last time I had gold run up to this level and the silver run up to the level that it's at, these were at about 205, 210. You know, I can't say it enough. There's not enough supply to go around. You need to be getting into gold and silver now. If you haven't done it by the time by this time next year, the inflation that's going to be coming and the destruction of the economy, the United States losing world status as the reserve currency.
Yeah, let me explain that. That was the only question I didn't get to with Ron Paul when he was on with us for 20 minutes at the first of the hour, of the last hour. Is the fact that the Federal Reserve is destroying the dollar, buying up the world with the last remnants of it as they devalue it, and then openly announcing in the New York Times they are going to openly take over the governments of the West, and that the private banks will now issue the new T-bills. By cutting the interest rates to zero, they've never been that low, that further kills U.S. bonds, U.S. debt issuance to the world, and that's why people are now fleeing the dollar again. And so then they're going to basically implode the U.S. and then again make the private banks the new governmental structures and make you pay taxes to them. New York State is passing 88 new taxes to squeeze the public. Other states are doing this. We are going into a hellish situation. All these top trends forecasters, the Prime Minister of Canada, are saying depression, martial law, the Army's announcing they're training to engage the American people. All I can tell you is it feels really good to be able to get on air and offer gold to people at $100 under what the market is right now. Folks, I wish some of you were educated out there, because some of you I don't think are, about how good a deal this is. Because, Ted, all the other dealers buy gold when it's low, and then when it's high, they sell it at that price, and they can sell it all day long. Ted sells it from the lower position, which annihilates his competition. Most of his competition can't even get gold and silver right now because they haven't been around that long. Ted's been around 30 years, so he has contacts nobody else has. I mean, companies that have been around 10 years, 12 years, 15 years are sold out or can only sell you one coin at a huge premium. Ted, again, tell folks the coins you've got quickly.
Well, the franc is a 1/5 of an ounce of gold. It's 203. We have the British sovereign. That's a quarter ounce coin. It's 252. And really, the best buy that I have out here, hands down is the walking liberty. That coin right now at $8.40 has seen silver go from $9.40 now to $11.50.
And by the way, the francs you've got are uncirculated, which is normally a premium. No premium on that. 800-686-2237. The brokers will be there till midnight, and then this deal is going to be gone. I mean, was that position big that you got last week?
Pretty substantial, Alex.
Okay, but you're only offering this until midnight tonight?
Well, I can offer it till midnight tonight because I'm getting orders. I mean, a lot of people are wanting it. And so
800-686-2237. You missed out on yesterday. Don't miss out now. 800-686-2237. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're going to be going live for 2 hours today at PrisonPlanet.tv. And we'll also post those video archives for the PrisonPlanet.tv members. Let me just finish up with what I was saying about the economy. Then we're going to Mike Rivera for the rest of the hour and your phone calls at 1-800-259-9231. I have been studying the New World Order for 15 years. I have interviewed, again, world experts on finance, trends forecasters, intelligence officers, former CIA section chiefs, you name it. It is a fact that they are going to implode the world economy to a much greater extent than we've already seen. It is a fact that no major investment in any brokerage firm, in any stocks or bonds, is completely safe. It is a fact that your annuities are not protected. It is a fact that they have already devalued your 401ks on average more than 50%, some cases 70%. It is a fact that they are raiding the pension funds. It is a fact that $4-plus trillion, was $2 trillion, on September 10th, 2001, the AP reported, it was several trillion, and that number's from 2006, the last time I saw a Armed Services Committee hearing where the military admitted $4 trillion has been stolen and missing, and Rumsfeld and Myers at the time wouldn't say where it went. Don't end up like the people that invested now over $100 million, it's growing every day, with Madoff, who was the former head of the New York of the NASDAQ in New York, the second largest stock exchange in the world. Again, it's now come out in the news, and we have these stories up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. I intend to get into them later. They're here in my stack. That he was tied in with brokerage firms and banks, and they were part of the whole thing. The SEC was part of it and covered it up. That's now in the Wall Street Journal. This was done by design. That's the type of characters. They're all a bunch of Madoffs up there. They control the Western intelligence agencies. They've intended to make this heist for decades. The IMF and World Bank documents show that. They're now doing it, and I believe it's even gotten out of their control. I mean, this, which is even more dangerous. So when I tell you that Ted Anderson bought gold right now at $107 under what gold is selling for, when he made the buys, it was when gold was $100+ under what it is now. So his tiny 4% markup, literally just to take the orders, is done as a loss leader to position himself in the market as a major force, which is happening. So, again, he is annihilating the competition. Research the gold and silver deals he just offered for yourself, but do it quickly, because yesterday he was offering gold at $740 when it was $845, over $100 up. Now it's at $880 again, and it's only gone up to a $770 buy. So it's over $100 under what the market is. As dangerous as this economy is and as this system is, you are insane not to physically hold some gold and silver, and you are insane not to take the deal that Ted was just offering. So last time I'm plugging it today, I don't normally spend 10 minutes on this, but it's so important. 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. Because, again, Ted's smart and buys when it's low, and then he still gives you that price later. I believe it's only going to go up and up and up, and that's what I've got just scores of articles in front of me. Just go to CNBC, go to CNN, you know, go to the gold sites like Kitco and read what the big guys are saying, $1,500, $2,000 gold an ounce in the next year. I don't know if that's going to happen. I just know that Madoff and his criminal crew can't get a hold of the gold and silver you physically hold. So 800-686-2237. I have got a lot to talk about with Mike Rivero, and he normally has a monthly visit with us, the first Tuesday of the month, and we screwed up and didn't have him on that day, so I apologize. We've been moving studios and things and have been a bit distracted, but we're now here in our new operations center, and it's great to have the editor-in-chief over at whatreallyhappened.com, also a talk show host weeknights from 5 to 7 p.m. Right here on the GCN Radio Network. It's always great to have Mike Rivero on with us with so much happening. Mike, out of the gates, the worsening financial implosion, open talk of military on the streets. The Army now officially says in the Army War College they are preparing to make war with the American people. I mean, this is, even for me, it's hard to believe they're actually admitting it, which tells me the fact that they're emerging and uncloaking themselves, they're having to do that because they really think that they're going to do it. Do you agree with that statement?
Oh, absolutely. I'd agree with that. I mean, they're looking right now at what's happening over in Greece and Spain and Denmark and Italy and France and Iceland and Thailand, and they're realizing we've hit that flashpoint where the people of the world are realizing that it's all this globalism and the global economy and all the rest of this nonsense that has created this incredible crisis that we're all suffering through right now. They're seeing the situations like Madoff and realizing that, you know, they don't deserve these depths of poverty into which they're being driven, that the situation is being created for them. I mean, we've got the American people who are looking at the U.S. government giving tax credits to corporations to ship high-paying jobs to other countries just at a moment when the debt crisis really became out of control. And so people are waking up and they're saying, I'm not going to blame myself for all of this trouble I'm in and the job I'm losing and the house I'm losing. It's not my fault. It's the government's fault. People are getting angry, which is a normal, healthy reaction to the situation. They're learning how to hate again. They're realizing it's okay to feel hate toward people and institutions that do hateful things. And the U.S. government realizes they have pushed us to the point of an outright open rebellion. And I don't like violence, and I don't like any of that bloody, messy stuff, but it just seems like we're right on the edge. And it's
and they know, and they knew that when they engineered this, the people would rebel. That's why they've geared up and quietly gotten rid of Posse Comitatus and have Marines out running checkpoints against the American people. That's in mainstream news. Clearly, they engineered and set all this up and knew that people would rebel, but I'm seeing real concern in their actions. I think they're starting to realize that they're not invincible and that you know, they're up there in their ivory towers, megalomaniacs on power trips, thinking they're invincible, like Hitler going into Russia and North Africa, and I think they're starting to realize that their New World Order is dead on arrival. I want you to comment on that, and then B, did you see last week the Financial Times of London and other publications in a concerted effort with headlines like, and now for world government, admitting that there's a world government, admitting they've covertly set it up, it's all in the story, and admitting, the editor of that paper, by the way, Mr. Wolfs of Bilderberg, and admitting that it's tyrannical and undemocratic, but saying the lie comes in with, oh, but we didn't engineer this collapse. A world government oven by the bankers will save you. I mean, how incredible is it, Mike, to see them openly saying it's world government?
Well, to respond to the first part first, I'm in agreement with you that I think the U.S. government and the power players are realizing that they might not be able to control a revolution if it's large enough. I mean, look what just happened in Greece. They literally, the country has run out of tear gas, and still the protesters are coming. They grabbed a TV station the other day. They're getting their message out on the air. A lot of people are seeing the echoes of the old network. You know, I'm mad as heck, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
And this is a real revolution. This isn't some counter-coup color revolution. This is real organic rebellion.
It absolutely is. People are angry, and when the entire population is angry, the U.S. government lacks them. Even with the ray guns and the soldiers on the streets, they're not going to be able to put down a rebellion if it really spreads all across the country. And the bottom line is, a rebellion in the United States against the government doesn't have to win, doesn't have to prevail, doesn't have to march into Washington, D.C. It only has to survive long enough to convince every foreign investor to yank their money out of the U.S. because it's not going to be safe there, and that will bring the whole system crashing down. It's exactly the same strategy that Castro followed to take down Batista.
Now, the issue of world government.
Yeah, now to get back to the second comment there, you know, obviously, the people who push for world government are going to take advantage of every crisis to push their agenda, just like the people who do the global warming thing. Where the temperature goes up, it's global warming. Temperature goes down, it's global warming, blah, blah, blah. But as far as these stories that we saw in the newspapers the other day, pushing for the global government, it's not going to work. It is an impossible sell because the people of the world, your audience, my audience, our readers, all those people who are protesting in Greece, they understand that it was globalism that got us here by tearing down the natural safety barriers that exist along national borders. And so these newspapers come along and say, well, let's do more of the same and hope for a different outcome. Everybody knows that's insane. That's the very definition of insanity, is continuing to do the same thing and expecting a different outcome. And everybody understands that globalism is designed to benefit the bankers and the industrialists and the corporations. It is not set up to benefit the people of the world, because it's removing all the safety barriers and safety devices and local control, because we've got this arrogant group of money people who think that the gods intended they should run it all. And whether it's, yeah, I mean, that's what Hitler wanted. Hitler wanted a globalist empire. Alexander the Great wanted a globalist empire. Guess what? It doesn't work. They both blew it.
Well, I agree, but you know, the question is, why are they now coming out and saying, yes, we've secretly set up a world government, yes, it's for your own good, and then actually saying in paper after paper, major, you know, marquee papers, Financial Times of London, Wall Street Journal, with headlines saying, we need a new world order, you want a new world order, we will save you, and telling us that tyranny, saying that democratic processes are the problem, no one's going to buy that. Everybody knows it was NAFTA and GATT. Everybody knows it was the, quote, free trade deals in the European Union that did this. Everybody knows the bankers are a bunch of crooks. I mean, I can't believe they think they're going to get away with this.
Well, they're raising on a busted flush, and it may be because they're still a little bit out of touch with what's going on in the ordinary streets and factories and schoolyards and ordinary places of the world. I mean, some of these people who are planning these things, they are so isolated from the world, and they're surrounded by cadres of middle managers and yes-men who really don't want to give them the bad news about how bad things are going out there. And so these decisions to run these ads and try and sell this position, these are being made in kind of a vacuum. They don't really see what the ordinary people of the world are thinking and seeing and feeling right now, and they're making these decisions based on kind of a fantasy wishful thinking that we are still dumbed down, that we are still going to accept whatever the TV networks give us or the newspapers give us as absolute truth, and that is not real anymore.
So, Mike, when we get back, let's talk about how you see this unfolding historically. What we're going to see in the next 2 months, 6 months, a year, 18 months, 2 years, 3 years, historically, how this will probably unfold and play out. I'll give my historical analysis and take on that. I've spent a lot of time thinking about it, not enough time on air discussing it. Get your take as well, and then go through some of the other news. Stay with us. Back to Mike Rivero in this short segment. Your call's coming up in the next segment at 1-800-259-9231. Going live with Alan Watt for 2 hours at PrisonPlanet.tv and T-minus 35 minutes, 15 seconds. Mike, how do you see this unfolding? I mean, we know the IMF and World Bank, the military, the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, the British Ministry of Defense, they've all put out reports saying that they openly work for foreign banks, openly saying that people aren't going to like what's going to happen. I've heard NPR for years bragging about how they're going to lower our standard of living for globalism and the environment and austerity, and Obama says he's getting us ready for that. So clearly, from all the evidence I've got, this is engineered, this world crisis they're bringing us into. And obviously, with rioting on the streets, some of the public, after a while, are going to beg for police state to supposedly bring order. Then the IMF is going to blame the rioting on the depression that comes. They do that in third world countries, and that's in their 100-point plan of how they carry this out. I mean, how do we defeat this? Because some people want rioting. I don't want rioting because I know that after a few months of it, people will then basically beg the government to come in and pick up the pieces when it's the government and the private Ponzi scheme operators that orchestrated it. Mike Rivero.
Well, the bottom line with that is that all of these Ponzi scheme systems, and that includes the Federal Reserve itself, it really cannot survive if you continue to lower everybody's standard of living because, well, let's take a look at the United States right now. We have built up this huge debt overburden, both within the government, within consumer debt, within corporate debt. Now, everything is fine as long as the workers who are the bottom of that financial pyramid are able to keep making the same money they've been making so that they can service their debt, they can make their payments. If you start saying, for the sake of the New World Order and the environment and all the rest of it, we've got everybody to live like six in a room and take bicycles and have none of that stuff anymore, then a huge portion of commerce is going to collapse that supports that population. If you get the whole world living for or needing much less to get by, then the industries and economies that have built up around supporting the needs of that society, they're going to start falling apart, and that revenue stream is going to dry up. And I think this is an aspect of the New World Order that they're not really paying attention to. That we're seeing it just in the way they're handling the current U.S. economic crisis. They're operating as if they still believe that the American people still have huge amounts of money hidden in their mattresses or in their bedroom closets. That we've already got they're talking yet about taxes on drinks in a bar, taxes on downloaded music. The only solution the government seems to have for any problem is for a new tax. And what they don't understand is there's nothing out here left to tax. And when people are having to, they're losing their $80,000 a year job and they're having to take a $40,000 a year job, that means they've got less to tax.
Well, that's my next point. That was my next question, and that's why I love Rivero. I mean, he historically is right on target and, even adds a lot of key nuances that I don't think about. But the New York Daily News is reporting that they're on the verge of passing, not just in New York City, but statewide, 88 new taxes on all soft drinks, iPod tax, movie theater tax, sporting event tax. So that's an internet tax there, by the way, over... And so that'll set the model and the precedent for the whole country. Taxi tax, bus tax, limo tax, cable tax, radio tax, clothing tax, on and on and on. 88 new taxes at the state level. They're talking about 50-plus taxes on top of that at the city level. It's like they're trying to squeeze us into open rebellion.
Well, they're just trying to squeeze us for all the money that they can get. And like I said, their attitude is there's always more out there. The people will come up with it. We just have to take it and give it to somebody else, which is all that government really does. But the problem is that the economy is already weak and taxes are increasing the load. And we're already at the point where the engine of the economy is stuttering and is ready to stall out and fail completely. And that is really where we are. And, if the government really wanted to save the economy, they could save the economy overnight by slashing federal taxes 50% across the board. Now, we'd have to give up certain things like killing Asian people or Middle Eastern people, but I, for one, am willing to make that sacrifice. But if you cut federal taxes 50% across the board, the economy would explode overnight, and everything would be fine, and we'd be off and running again. But the government won't do that one thing. What are they doing? They keep doing what they've been doing before and expecting it's going to change the outcome.
Because they want control, because they're control freaks, and they love taxes to then give it to their corporate buddies. Again, they tax you, take your money, put it in the pension funds, the city funds. They then invest it in the Ponzi schemes. Even the local employees don't even get the money. Only the bankers get it. It's all about social engineering and control. Mike Rivero, stay with us. Listeners, you're not going to hear this on CNBC or CNN or Fox. former heads of the World Bank on, or top economists, Nobel Prize winners, you will hear this information. The information we're covering is the reality. We keep telling you the Federal Reserve is foreign, it's private, it was creating giant Ponzi schemes, derivatives. You can go back to my show 10, 11 years ago when I'd have economists like George Humphreys on covering what was going to happen in the future. People said, oh, you're just gloom and doom. We said, no, when you've got hundreds and hundreds of times, fiat derivatives compared to all the real currency in the world, and they're taking the city, the county, the private pension funds, the stock market, the 401ks, and investing it. We saw, even 5-6 years ago, the elite started taking their money, their investments out, and putting it into hard assets, media, infrastructure, roads, power plants, nuclear power companies, defense contractors, roads. They were getting out of the stock market. They were getting out of derivatives. They were getting out while they took your money. I mean, I made the film Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports Exposed, where only about 35% of the tax money you pay even goes to government services, whether you want them or not. The majority, 60%+, goes into the comprehensive financial system, which is the double set of books, which is the investments in Wall Street and the international banking cartel. So they certainly engineered this to consolidate, to vertically integrate wealth. But now we're going into a situation where we already have millions and millions of people that have lost their homes. Hundreds of thousands of people lose their homes every month. Millions and millions more are going to lose their homes or lose their jobs or have to be downsized or get two or three jobs if they can find them. Unemployment at all-time records. The dollar imploding. Hyperinflation now rising back up. And the people are going to riot. They're going to protest. They're going to demonstrate. The police are going to attack the peaceful crowds. They've been trained to do that by the feds. The public's going to get violent. And then that's the pretext to bring even more troops in. And the media will spin it that the people caused the depression. They're also saying that the auto industry is going to cause the depression, as if all of this happened because of them, or it all happened because of subprime mortgages, which after they got the banker takeover power, 8 weeks ago, you notice day one, they said, oh, now it's not subprime. We're just going to take the money secretly and not tell you where it went. Mike Rivero, I have to pinch myself, even knowing how arrogant and corrupt the elites are, to see them on the news saying, we're not going to tell you where the $8.5 trillion went. Now, people will say, wait a minute, it says $2 trillion. That's when Bloomberg sued 6 weeks ago, folks. It was $2 trillion that had been stolen then. Now it's $8.5, and that number's old. It's much more than that. So I mean, where is this going where the Congress has no power, the people have no power, and open criminal foreign banks that engineered the crisis are now in control of the executive, saying they're going to use the U.S. Army on us if we don't take the raping and like it, and then the people are all losing their houses and their jobs, and the police are out everywhere writing tickets in Austin, all over the country, and 88 new taxes, and just, I mean, my God, they are forcing confrontation.
I agree. The pressure is definitely building towards a confrontation. I don't know that they necessarily want one, because I think they've reached the point of realizing they may not be able to control it, because they've only got so many military. And as again, go back to look at what's happening in Greece right now. They've run out of tear gas. The protesters are taking the TV stations. You know, they're using pocket lasers to blind the police troops, or dazzle them, not permanently blind them, but they're using lasers to get in their eyes. And they're winning, basically. Again, when you're talking about a popular uprising, victory doesn't depend on walking into the capital city and battering down the doors of the White House. You just have to survive long enough to make it obvious that the government is no longer in control of the territory. It's what we're seeing up in Afghanistan. The U.S. is standing there saying, yes, we're winning the war, and yet the Taliban is now in control of most of Afghanistan. They're running their own court system. They're running their own police forces. They've become the de facto civil administrators. Now, as far as what's going to be happening here in the U.S., I think we're headed for a major crash, engineered or not. I don't think anybody can control it or its aftermath. And worse, because of globalism, we could be looking at literally a repeat of the fall of the Roman Empire. Rome, toward its final days, they were doing bailouts of their collapsing financial systems and dumping the bill on the taxpayers. They were overextended across the globe with all these military adventures. They were in too deep in debt. And they paralyzed themselves with their own debt. And as they got overextended militarily, certain of their little possessions started to break away. We're seeing South America break away from U.S. influence. We're seeing Afghanistan may succeed in breaking away from U.S. influence. It's starting to happen. The global American empire is starting to fall. And we could see a whole new Dark Ages come out of it, by which it means that the ultra-rich and ultra-powerful have a real rough time of it. But the ordinary people, you know, will just get along doing what we've always been doing. We may revert even to kind of an agrarian society for a little while. And certainly with our technology, I don't think we're going to go back to the days of the witch burnings, no matter how much certain religious fundamentalists would like to see that happen. But I do think this globalist empire, at the point where it is seeing its own fruition, may in fact be self-destructive.
Well, Mike Rivero, here's my issue. Again, I know the IMF and World Bank have overthrown hundreds of third world countries with the exact same system of coming in, taking over the banking, creating Ponzi schemes, hyping up the economy, then cutting off liquidity, imploding the country by design to criminally consolidate the wealth and then set up a dictatorship in the name of quelling the rioting. Now, that's their official plan. That's in their own documents. They do it. By design, they have other systems for bigger nations like shock therapy, as they call it, what they did with Russia, the total looting, imploding the economy down to nothing, and then handing the entire infrastructure over to seven oligarchs. Now, the globalists are outside any nation, and so they've used the United States as their vehicle, their engine, their war mock, their juggernaut to carry this out against the people of the planet. Now they're heaping all the blame for globalism against the United States. The United States falls as a superpower, but the globalists have now amassed all the wealth worldwide, and so juggling between all the nations, they have us pay the carbon taxes to them, they're saying it, they control the UN, the NATO military, the remnant of the U.S. military, which they admit will be their servant system. So they've stated that this was their plan. We can debate whether or not they're in control of it now, but they're more than happy to have riots. They're more than happy to have people starving. They're more than happy over and over again in history to do things like this. And so I think it's clear that we need to go out and tell the public these people don't need to be in control of the crisis. They engineered it. They need to be arrested. We need to have that hue and cry that you know, this guy was the former head of NASDAQ. That entire group up there are just as guilty as Madoff. And it's come out that the brokerage firms and big banks, all of them, were working with Madoff and running this scam. So it's the same class of criminals. They all need to be clapped in irons right now.
Well, I agree with you on that, absolutely. What I'm saying, I mean, we're both in agreement. There's this huge plan going on to exploit the world for the benefit of a few. I'm less optimistic about their being able to succeed, and mostly it's because of radio shows like yours and mine and our various websites, because all of those times the IMF went out to these third world countries and pillaged them, it did so basically in the dark. The rest of the world, you know, the majority of the population was unaware this was going on. That's no longer true. That's why we're seeing riots in Greece and Denmark and Italy and Iceland. The world's people have woken up to this scam that is going on. They're realizing that the systems that they've been living under are not set up for their benefit, and they're beginning to get very, very angry. Now, I have an aspect about the Madoff case I'd like to point out to you. And that is, and this is really what makes this clear to people what's really going on here. If you go to like a flea market and you buy some tires for your car, and it turns out they're stolen, the police are going to come and get those tires back from you to give back to the rightful owner. That's the way it's always kind of worked. Even though you didn't know it was stolen, even though you weren't part of the crime, the stolen property is taken back and returned. Now, that $50 billion or $100 billion that Madoff has swindled from investors, it didn't disappear. It's not gone. It's in the hands of his earlier investors. So following the same pattern that the police would use with you and I, they should fix Madoff's swindle by going to the early, older investors who got the money and say, you got to give it back so we can give it to the later investors who got screwed over. But they're not doing that. What are they? They're going to let those people keep the money. Where are they going to make up the losses? A federal bailout. Who's going to pay for the federal bailout? You and I and the baker and the policeman and the cook and the carpenter. We're all going to get stuck with the bill again. And that, in a nutshell, proves that the system is set up to simply loot the people for the benefit of an elite few. We had the head of the IMF the other day coming out and saying, you know, we might not want to push them so hard for much longer, or it is going to blow up in our faces. He's predicting violence and civil war in many countries, including the United States.
Well, absolutely. But we go back to 8 weeks ago, and they said, if you don't give us this unlimited power to take over your entire government and act in secret and steal any amount of money we want, then you will have a depression. That signaled the final destruction of confidence. The public still believed their masters. I mean, the global social engineers knew that was going to destroy confidence, just as they destroyed confidence by design in 29 to consolidate. So what we're dealing with is just absolute, complete madmen here.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. And part of it is, along with self-serving agendas, there is a great deal of arrogance on display here. These people believe to the bottom of their heart that they cannot fail. Either the gods love them, or they just think they're that much smarter than everybody else. And you know something? Every leader in history who fell made the same mistake, whether it was Louis XVI, or Charles I, or Ceausescu, or Mussolini, or Hitler. They all thought they were just perfect, and they couldn't possibly fail, and they failed anyway. And I think that's what we're going to be seeing with the government of the United States.
Mike, I tell you what I see happening in all of this is I see more staged terror attacks, as a lot of the think tanks have said. People are wise to the fact that the Bush controllers were staging terror. And so what they're going to do now is that they have a new horse, Obama, a new front guy that the public hasn't gotten completely wise to yet, though they're starting to, and that they will stage terror attacks to get everybody to rally around the flag during the crisis so that we unify around fake environmentalism and the fake crisis and around fake terror, as the head of the Council on Foreign Relations, Richard N. Haass, said in reports back in 91 and then again last year. They said we will use fake environmentalism and fake terror as a unifying effect.
Well, I think the fake environmentalism is falling flat on its face because these storms that have hit across America and these record cold temperatures for the second year in a row, people are beginning to realize that the whole global warming cult, it really was just a huge scam to extract more money from us, to exert more control over our lives, to convince us to make do with less so the government could have more. And the people are fed up. They don't see why they should go on working their guts out for very long hours a day just to all give it to a bunch of people who are so rich they can't even remember how many homes they own. And I think people are fed up and they're angry and they're saying there's no end to it. There is no amount of work we can do that will make
sure the people are mad, they're fed up, hundreds of new taxes everywhere, but the establishment is signaling that they don't care. They are just going to continue. So this is like two freight trains on the same track going straight up against each other. Let's go to some phone calls. Kevin in Mass, you are on the air, Kevin.
Hello.
Hello, sir. Welcome.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
Good.
I've talked with you before. I was a guy over the summer mentioned to you that the Lisbon Treaty was being voted on in Ireland. You jumped right on that. And I'm a connected dots guy like you. And I noticed I've been listening to you recently, and you're talking about federal military forces being used against the American people. Well, I'm going to share this with you. If you haven't, if you've seen this, and you don't want to hear it again, just go ahead and stop me. But I was reading 2005, the Navy Times, which is a counterpart of the Army Times, and it says, Navy will establish Navy Infantry Battalion. And I said, this makes absolutely no sense. The U.S. Marine Corps of 200,000 men is there. Why does the Navy need a force of about 800 men to be infantry? Now, put that away, 2005. I was doing some research over the summer.
Now, that's the SEED group. I did see that. I mean, that's what they say in the new NORTHCOM operation, that even the Coast Guard, every branch of the armed services will provide tens of thousands of troops. And, of course, that 800 was the SEED group for domestic operations.
You got it. Well,
and Iraq and Afghanistan and Serbia have been the training ground for these forces in kicking down doors, gun confiscations, running checkpoints to come back to the U.S. Now to acclimate the public, they're putting Marines and Army out at DWI checkpoints.
Okay, you got it, Alex. Let me read this. I downloaded an article. I was doing research. It comes from the Strategy page, which is a British website. And it was an article titled, American Naval Infantry Go to War. The article was from 2007, 2 years after 2005. Let me read you paragraph 4. It's brief. The Navy officially established its, quote, Naval Expeditionary Combat Command, unquote, in 2005. The organization will eventually grow to contain 40,000 sailors, all of whom will be trained to work and fight on land. How do you like that? Now, the Marine Corps has like regular and reserve, 12 infantry regiments. That's 36 battalions. Well, there's another 40 battalions right there, because a battalion is about 800 to 1,000 men. That's 10% of naval manpower is going to be converted to infantry. Where are they going to be used? And that's a rhetorical question.
Absolutely. Do me a favor. I didn't see those two particular articles. I remember seeing other blurbs in the press as they prepared the entire four branches of the military for domestic operations. And again, we were right about it. Now it's public. Email those to Aaron at InfoWars.com. Email those to Paul Watson over at PrisonPlanet.com. You can see the email link there so we can get another report out on that subject as well. Thank you so much for the call. Mike Rivero, comments on what Kevin and Mass was just saying.
Well, it is part of a pattern of acclimating the American people to military being present on the streets. It is a complete violation of posse comitatus and goes all the way back to the Declaration of Independence and the complaints about King George of Britain keeping troops quartered with us, you know, to keep an eye on us. And again, it's part of the message that the government is sending. The government isn't worried about terrorists. They're worried about us. They're worried that the American people have really reached the point of just being totally fed up of working our entire lives away and seeing the fruits of that labor continually drawn off and sucked out of our lives and given to people who've really already got much more money than they could ever possibly spend in a single
lifetime. Control freaks. It's the great game. I agree with you. What's going to happen, though, when cops, mothers and fathers and children and neighbors are losing their houses, when they know their country's been destroyed? I mean, are they just going to continue to happily gun down Americans in the riots or take people to FEMA camps? I mean, I don't see our police and military, especially because we've been out there for decades warning them beforehand, and so now they know the truth. I don't see them going along with this.
No, I think there's probably we're going to see foreign troops being brought in, which, of course, was Charles I's big mistake. And we're going to see foreign troops brought into the U.S. to quell disorder. It may be done under the aegis of the United Nations. But, yeah, if you go back to the combat arms survey that they did at 29 Palms some years back, the reality is most American soldiers will not fire on American citizens.
But they have sifted through the ranks for decades to find those cadres that will, and they're now in command. So that is the problem. Sure, 77%, 76% in all the studies won't shoot at Americans. Well, they just take that 25% and then create brigades of those thugs. We know the private central banks of the world have staged this event to bring in world government, but if you really analyze it, they let in so many brokerage firms, so many other banks, they let so many other family members and cronies in, this super class, as Rothkopf calls it, setting up world government, the 6,000 people that make up these parasites, that they have infected everything with bad paper, and so that it threatens, as the Financial Times of London said a few years ago, to even consume them now. So this whole thing is out of control. We need the people to stand up and say no to the police and military. Don't be with people like Madoff. I mean, that's who's the type of folks that are running all of this. Don't be part of this criminal group. Stand with the people, or it's only going to get worse for everybody. The elite are just destroying themselves. Let's go ahead and take a call from Richard in Texas. You're on the air with Mike Rivero. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex and Mike. Just to cover a few things that you guys were talking about before, about why they announced the New World Order, I kind of see it as a litmus. Like, they kind of just throw that out there to see what the reaction is, and it gives them a kind of something to either pull back or continue on with their plan.
Yes, a trial balloon.
Yes. Also, I think one of the ways that we could work this out is to go local and avoid globally, like, purchasing things that are made in China and things like that, obviously.
Well, watch the police and the military doing this, you know, get toys from the citizens, give it to poor kids. The poor kids don't need toys. They need their Bill of Rights, their Constitution, a chance at a future, and not a bankrupt third world country. So, you know, Mike Rivero, your comments on that.
Yeah, absolutely. These stories are a trial balloon. They're trying to see if the frog has been boiled enough yet, and they're trying to, like, just lure us in. As you said earlier in the show, this is all about trying to sell us on the need for a global world government, even though it's globalism that has really brought us to the edge of disaster.
Absolutely. Anything else, Richard?
I just wanted to mention this special that I saw on PBS the other night on the 401k plan. It was actually last night, and the demise of the pension plan. They mentioned that under a pension plan, employers paid 89% and employees paid 11%. Now under a 401k, it's 50-49 and employees paying 50%, or 51% rather, and employers paying 49%. So I think that's another thing to look at as far as the agenda that was created, I think, in 74 when all this took over, and now pension plan or 401ks, I mean, you're left with absolutely nothing. It's basically a base check that you get after your
and to save it. They're saying that they are going to have the government take over even private pension funds and then tax it to administer it. So, absolutely great points. Let's take another call here. Let's talk to Adam in Missouri. Go ahead, Adam. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, Alex?
I guess okay.
I'd have to disagree with Averro. I definitely think U.S. troops are going to fire on the population here, especially after a couple shots come their way.
Well, then the public's going to burn everything down, which is going to be a really bad situation.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be terrible, and that's why, you know,
they think we're wimps, but the American people have just been restrained, and once the genie's out of the bottle, it is going to be an inferno. Mike Averro?
Well, yeah, I go back to what Admiral Yamamoto said about Americans following the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
I fear we have awoken a sleeping giant.
That's exactly right, because Americans are traditionally, they're very slow to anger, but once they're angry, it's impossible to stop them.
Well, I want everybody knowing the CPS that's kidnapped all these kids and DynCorp and Halliburton with the white slavery rings, you may think you can move to Dubai with no extradition. We are going to come get you.
Absolutely.
Those of us that make it through this. Go ahead, Adam. Finish up.
Yes. You know, the war is coming, and I believe very strongly that we are going to win this fight. But the war isn't the hard part. It's the rebuilding afterwards that's going to be the difficult part. I'm wondering, do you think we have the leaders and just the intelligence power to pull this off so the same thing just doesn't happen again?
Well, that's the $64 million question. Many times these French revolutions get even worse than what we had previously.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're going to be going live at PrisonPlanet.tv with Alan Watt at the 8 after for the balance of the transmission. Continuing with all the callers that are holding, Mike Averro, WhatReallyHappened.com is our guest. InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com are my news sites. I want to take a final call or two, but Mike, historically, more times than not, having a rebellion, having a overthrow of the government turns out just as bad or worse. And so, as Ron Paul has said, out of all of this crisis, we need to make sure that we go back to the Bill of Rights, Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and not into some new tyranny where another faction of the elite sicks the working class, the middle class, on the other faction of the elite, or the underlings of the elite, overthrow their bosses, and then act like we've had a revolution, and then bring in a new form of tyranny. The euphoria that comes after a revolution is always a very dangerous time in the formation of the new system.
Absolutely agree with you, and I agree with Ron Paul. We need to go back to the original founding principles of this country as enshrined in the Constitution. When people talk about the French Revolution, what they don't understand is there were actually about 8 of them. As each new group came to power and proved that they were just as corrupt as the last one, they'd get out the tumbrils and the guillotines all over again.
Yeah, different regions battled with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody wanted control. Remember, when we throw the old scoundrels out, there's going to be a long line of new scoundrels trying to get in, and we have to keep an eye out for them.
Absolutely. Let's take another call here for you. Let's talk to Dragon in Jersey. Go ahead, Dragon. Dragon dropped. Let's talk to Linda in Florida. Linda, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, Linda, you're on the air.
Yes, I thank you for your work. I last talked to you down here in Orlando on your radio. Look, I agree with the comment that was made, but I disagree with the assessment that you guys made of it. We cannot win this war without unity. If we are not organized and united, we are not only vulnerable individually, but our cause is reduced to a chaotic survival, or instead of an orderly resistance in advance.
Well, ma'am, that knife cuts both ways. If you only have one group leading, it can be overthrown, infiltrated, the leaders can be killed, imprisoned. When you have a spirit of liberty, and sons of liberty, an idea, and the push to bring those that engineered this to justice, and then to go back to the Bill of Rights and Constitution, then that doesn't happen. But, I mean, all I ever hear our, quote, movement doing is saying, I'm the leader, whereas I've always had success because I haven't tried to be a leader. I've tried to educate and wake as many people up as I can. Mike Rivero.
Yeah, absolutely. The key to all of this is we're changing the way the information flows through society so that it's not under the control of the government and the elite anymore. And, you know, that really is a major part of it, because that's why the American people are realizing what's being done to them now. We didn't go out and force it down their throats. We just make it available. People naturally want the truth. They're going to go to where they can find the truth. And that's why the newspapers and TV networks are in trouble, and the blogs and the alternative media are doing quite well right now.
And that's why the system is coming to try to shut down the web now with this internet too, with Barack Obama. And again, all these years we've been here exposing them and fighting them. So when they made their move for world government, everybody would see who they were. Now all the hard work and the apple seeds all of you planted are now springing to life, Mike.
Yeah, it is. It is a time of tremendous change. In the long run, I don't think it's going to be possible to control the internet any more than it was possible to control books once Gutenberg invented movable type printing. I think it is that irreversible. I know they're going to try. I don't think they can succeed in the long run. I don't think they can.
Absolutely. And Linda, I hate to cut you off, but we got another guest coming up. You can call me back tomorrow if you'd like, when I've got open phones. We can have a larger discussion. And next week, I do have some days where there's not a lot of guests on, so we can open the phones up and take hour after hour of calls and hear from everybody out there. Thank you, Linda. Everybody else, your calls are coming up with Alan Watt. Mike Rivero, want to thank you for joining us. It's always great to have you on.
Well, thank you. I'll be back next month.
Have a great Christmas.
Same to you.
You bet. He'll be back early next month. Okay, we'll be back after this quick break. Remember, today's the last day to order DVDs and books at InfoWars.com, and be sure to get them before Christmas. So get those orders in. We'll be right back.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman, because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
We're live, ladies and gentlemen.
Get up.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be live at PrisonPlanet.tv, streaming to PrisonPlanet.tv members for the next hour and 15 minutes till the end of the radio show. Alan Watt is with us for the balance of the broadcast today. We're going to cover the news with him in the next 30 minutes, and then open phones for Alan Watt and, of course, myself, Alex Jones, for the rest of this transmission, December 17th, 2008. Seems like this year just started a few days ago, and now it is already almost over. Interest rates have been cut by zero, further destroying the dollar. The Federal Reserve is openly taking over the United States. $8.5 trillion stolen. That number's 2 weeks old. They're telling Congress and the media, even after FOIA suits, that they will not release the information. Remember, they promised it would all be public. This is all by design. And scores of news articles and the Army War College are reporting that the military is training to attack the American people and rules of engagement to not just use microwave guns and sound cannons, but bullets. It says the American people are going to rebel against them. The Ministry of Defense last year in England admitted this. The Defense Department this year has admitted it. A new report out on PrisonPlanet.com. I want to talk to Alan Watt with known and unknown unconventional strategic shocks in defense strategy development. And this gets into, it says right here, their fight with the American people. So the question is, will the social engineers be able to bring in this worldwide depression that they engineered publicly and then pose as saviors and then set up openly their world government where we will pay our taxes directly to the private banking institutions? This is now being announced. I want to now go to Alan Watt of Cutting Through the Matrix. Alan Watt is a prolific researcher on the true nature of the global elite and their master plan from their source documents and their own agenda. And it is good to have Alan Watt with us today. Alan, thank you for coming on.
It's a pleasure to be on.
Alan, I know you're a news hound like myself because I follow your work, and I know you've been covering the fact that hundreds of major newspapers, including the Wall Street Journal, the Financial Times of London, and others, are all reporting that yes, we had a secret world government. Yes, we set up a secret world government. Yes, we've been soothing you and lying to you. They even say this for your own good in the article, and now for world government by Mr. Raikman in the Financial Times of London last Tuesday. They admit that it's tyrannical, anti-democratic, but they say it's for your own good to save us from global warming and terrorism, which we know they're staging, and the financial crisis, which we know they're implementing. Why are they now in hundreds of publications, hundreds, you can Google New World Order and Google News, thousands, around 5,400 links come up in the last few months. Why are they suddenly announcing it? Don't they understand that the people finally are seeing that it's real and that they are the authors of our doom? Why is New York announcing New York State, 88 new taxes on food and drink and iPods and taxis? Why are they trying to squeeze us into conflict? So, A, why are they openly announcing their world government, admitting it's tyrannical, anti-democratic, social engineering? And B, why are they pushing us with all these new taxes, knowing it will cause rebellion, as we've seen worldwide?
What they're doing is simply implementing the next part of this plan. They've had years of creating what they call apathy, and they started that agenda back in the 60s, in fact, the creation of apathy. The idea was to estrange the people from the idea that somehow they took part in making the future, deciding the future, to estrange the governments from the very people themselves, and to encourage the people to leave it to the better people, the ones who really dealt with the higher decision-making policies. In other words, they divided us, they cut us off from participating really in government and the creation of our future. They've put us off the path of creating our own destiny. And most people today, after survey that's been churned out for the last 30 years, keep showing that fewer and fewer people bother to even vote. They leave it to the higher decisions, to what they call the experts. So what they're doing now is putting that home to the public and creating more apathy. The statements really leave you with a feeling that everything's out of your hands. There's nothing you can do. That's the other message you get subliminally. And get ready for tough, tough times coming. Just accept it. They're trying to tell you it's so overwhelming, there's nothing you can do. That really is the message. It's psychological warfare to the extreme.
Well, I concur with you. And in fact, they, as you know, they talk about in hundreds and hundreds of declassified government psychology tests, starting with rats and then with other primates and then humans, that if they just shock you with overwhelming information, that it creates a feeling of hopelessness in many people. Go into a catatonic state and detach and roll over. But we also have a lot of Pentagon studies going back to the 50s and then again in the 70s and 80s where they studied the Western world and said within 3 to 4 days, rioting breaks out over no food. And within 15 days, basically everybody becomes mad killers who will kill for food. So it looks like they're pushing us into a crisis where they know we won't just be apathetic and we'll actually fight back. Look at Greece. Look at Iceland. Look at Argentina. All over the world, riots now starting worldwide. We have the establishment then trying to push those riots with Martin coming out today and Harper coming out saying we're going to have a depression with the head of the IMF saying we're going to have worldwide rioting if we don't fix the economy when we know they engineered the crisis. So with your expertise, try to break down for us, please, what exactly is happening here and what this cocktail is of trying to get us to rebel and fight back while at the same time trying to soothe us and getting us to go along.
What we have to look at first is not so much what's happening, but what's the long-term goal. And when they tell you they're going to have rioting for about 30 years worldwide, and they're telling you as well that they have to get the world to accept the fact that rapid deployment and reaction troops will be sent all over the globe from one country to the other, to each other as well. And you're going to see that in 30 years of psychological training, with riots breaking out in different countries and being quelled one at a time, after 30 years we'll have a brand new society where we accept that the old way is completely eradicated. The old way of choosing what you want to do with your life, where you're going to go with your life, where you want to live, who you want to marry, all of that stuff, you want to earn money for yourself, that's gone as well. It's a brand new world that's come out at the end of this whole agenda. So we're going to see the sporadic outbreaks in certain parts until it's standard daily news. For 30 years, the troops have been deployed in Brazil, the troops have been deployed in the Hague, will be deployed in Norway, Finland, the U.S., or parts of the U.S., and that will be our standard fare for 30 years.
And we've now seen tens of billions of year given to Mexico alone to suddenly militarize and put troops in black uniforms on every street corner and then start wars with the drug cartels they don't control to further escalate the problem-reaction-solution crises that they're openly engineering. I'm going to put up on screen, and now for world government, from the Financial Times of London. I mean, again, just incredibly arrogant to be throwing this in our face. Please continue.
It's arrogant. It's arrogant, too. And also, when you go into the whole UN agenda, you can't really understand this until you look at the UN agenda with all of its umbrella organizations working on the same agenda to the state where eventually you will not work for yourself. You'll work for the world state. You'll get your food given to you by or via the United Nations. That's in their charter. They will be in command of all the foods resources of the entire planet.
And as you mentioned, the British Ministry of Defense public report last year said, we work for the foreign banks. We're going to engineer in the U.S., England, and Europe, and Japan 30 years of riots, and our job will be suppressing the people while this transformation to world government is complete.
Yes, and so a generation will grow up through these tough times, and it'll be quite natural to hear on the news that the rapid deployment forces are down in California this week, quelling a riot by malcontents who are anti-social, who won't blend into the new social structure. And this is how the planet is really working on the minds of those growing up. Already we have people growing up who've never known freedom. They think that police in the streets and tanks going around and guys in black uniforms and subways with machine guns is quite natural, that we're under a constant state of terror. That's the only world they've known. The one that will grow up through all the rioting will take that as standard. They will think that those who riot are antisocial because they want more than their fair share that the UN is dishing out to them. And at the end of all of this, there'll be no memory or history of the world that was before.
And that's what George Orwell talks about, who was a BBC propagandist and openly admitted before he died of tuberculosis, and a lot of evidence showed was killed, that this is the plan he was let in on as a member of British intelligence.
Yes.
And showing that the British masterminds, not the British people, but the British masterminds are running this. Everything the British government puts out as policy is then mimicked and parroted as official policy in the United States, Europe, Japan, and worldwide. Alan Watt is our guest. We'll talk about the public. Even though world government's being admitted, some of the public still in denial, saying the articles we're showing are fake. They're doing a bad, bad thing right now, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Alan Watt, that's what I'd call a independent sociologist studying all of this, or you can define yourself in the, I guess, the work I do. I mean, I guess a real historian studying the elite and their program for humanity. You have these hundreds of articles saying world government's here, world government's a good idea, we're going to put one back on screen, admitting it's tyrannical, but saying it's for your own good. And I guess that's just more of this terrorism. Stage terror attacks, stage financial attacks, give us total power or the economy will implode. The Congress gives them total power under threat of martial law. The British Parliament's being spied on. Governors are being arrested. All this fear. And then even though hundreds of papers and world leaders are all over TV calling for world government, I still get emails and comments and talk show hosts and Rush Limbaugh making fun of myself even by name, saying that none of it exists. So all these years we read the documents, the CFR reports, Carol Quigley, literally thousands and thousands of them on air, wrote books about it, made films about it. Now that it's all happening and emerging publicly, a lot of people are waking up and saying, oh my God, you were right, we've got to fight this. But just as many, I'd say 20-30% of the public, are saying, you know what? They told me previously this didn't exist, so I'm saying you're a liar. I'm saying these news articles are fake. I'm saying none of this is real, and I'm seeing a huge backlash. Now, I know some of them are operatives and paid bloggers, but, I mean, it just seems like such an insult to the public's intelligence to openly admit it, and then with the other hand, as this Reichman guy did a day after he wrote the article, he wrote another article saying there is no world government, you're conspiracy theorists. So can you speak to that?
That, again, is the Limbaugh and these characters, really, their job is to keep the people in the illusion. It's exactly like 1984. The majority of the bureaucratic elite had to believe in the propaganda that was dished out every day. It didn't matter about those at the very, very bottom. They literally will adapt to any system they're given. However, when there's a rapid change in their standard of living, they will kill the messenger. So they have the Limbaughs and characters like that to cater to the masses who want to live in the old think, as they call it, the old system. Even though it is changing around them, they will deny their own perceptions.
Exactly. I always hear Limbaugh and Hannity still saying WMDs were found, even as the UN and Bush admit that it was staged, yes, was fake. It doesn't matter. They still say every day, no, it's real. No, the WMDs were there. Again, they're kind of living in the old model or the old download.
Yes, and that's their job, is to cater to those who are heavily brainwashed, who are timid, who are scared, and who could not face a rapid change. They want to believe that things will somehow get better, but more importantly, they think that they hope it'll go back to the past, and nothing ever goes back to the past.
Well, that's double think, double speak, crime stop. They subconsciously, it's too scary, they make the decision to lie to themselves and say it's not happening, even as it is happening, as they put troops on the streets, as Marines run checkpoints, at DWI, checkpoints on the road against U.S. citizens. They come back and say, no, it's not true. And then Limbaugh and others give them psychological sounding board or cover to say, see, there's still a media saying it doesn't exist, even as the other mainline media tells the slaves, get ready for this, we're doing it.
Yes, and the rest of the media keeps them in old think with lots and lots and lots of trivia. That's exactly what Bertrand Russell said, to be fed is nothing but trivia. And trivia is mixed with important news, and so they can't tell the difference. Everything is surreal to them, surrealistic, and their world they live in is surrealistic. And when the troops are, just like the Soviet Union, you know, Solzhenitsyn said, he said, at first when the NKVD, which became the KGB, came to arrest people next door to you, they would turn the whole street out under Soviet law to witness the arrest. That was to have the powerful effect of terrifying the onlookers, you see.
Now they show it to us on Cops in the News.
Yes, and we have, it is basically entertainment now. We've had, I watched, I remember when the Hill Street Blues was pushed up to the top to be a big-time worldwide series, about New York NYPD, and it also had the SWAT teams in every series, and they go through all this mental anguish, should they use them or not. Then but they were getting familiarized to the idea of SWAT teams, and then about 5, 6, 7 years later, you saw it actually happening in real life. So So who was emulating who? What were we doing through, what we're getting through the Hill Street Blues was being familiarized through predictive programming for that which was to come.
And on those shows, they would torture innocent people. They would break rules. They'd say, I want to save a little girl, but I don't have a warrant. Oh, screw it. Do it without a warrant.
And then they
make your new heroes the people that torture and violate the law and set people up. And now SWAT teams are raiding Amish farmers who give unpasteurized milk to their neighbors or who don't register their farm when there's not even a law. Now the SWAT teams are used at checkpoints on the highway or to go to people's houses for traffic warrants. Now the entire police force is being converted over to these ring wraiths. Excellent points. Amazing insight from Alan Watt, cutting through the matrix. We'll put his website up on screen. Stay with us. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are live at PrisonPlanet.tv. In the future, we'll be going at least 2 hours a day live so we can put documents up on screen and show you the articles we're reading live on the radio. To pay for all this bandwidth in the studio, we charge 15 cents a day or $5.95 a month. If you get a yearly membership, you get 5-plus months free. So you pay for a little bit more than 6 months, you get 5.3 months free at PrisonPlanet.tv. That is the Christmas special, and so I hope that you will visit PrisonPlanet.tv and sign up today. We are streaming live to the world right now. And then we also archive this and post it for members at PrisonPlanet.tv. We're going to go back to Alan Watt of Cutting Through the Matrix here in just a moment. Before we do that, I want to tell you about some of the sponsors that to make this transmission possible, and one of them is MySolarBackup.com. A lot of things can cut off your electrical power, hurricanes, snow, ice, and storms. Listeners should move towards getting off the grid, and here's a good way to do that. Because, folks, we have to become independent, not dependent on the system. A solar power generator is now available from our longtime sponsor, Solutions from Science. It's designed to provide 1,800 watts of power on demand. In the event of any disaster or outage, you can get an emergency power backup kit, which consists of the Power Source 1800 power plant and a high-efficiency solar panel designed to provide endless electricity. That's right. It generates free electricity. Remember, too, that gas generators need gas, but in blackouts, gas pumps can't pump gas because they run on electricity. The solar power generator is like having a silent power plant hidden in your home. It's the perfect emergency backup for troubled times. Their website is MySolarBackup, one word, MySolarBackup.com, or give them a call, get a free brochure, or order a unit, 877-327-0365. They have these all in stock, the best unit they could find, 877-327-0365. Now, their lines are busy, keep calling back, 877-327-0365. Also, you know about Ecola Blue, ladies and gentlemen, the atmospheric water generator that is taking the country by storm. It grabs 7.5 gallons a day just with their smaller unit. Very affordable, out of the atmosphere. And then, this isn't just condensate, it puts it through 5 major filters and 2 sub-filters. The water passes through an activated carbon filter, then a silver impregnated carbon filter, then a reverse osmosis system, then a taste and color odor removal filter, and is stored in an illuminated tank by antibacterial fungal UV light. And the machine comes in red, black, white, green, silver, and blue. And I have one at the office and one at my home, and we love it. The water is incredible. EcolaBlue.com, big banners up on InfoWars.com, EcolaBlue.com, or 866-585-4044. All right, ladies and gentlemen, going back to Alan Watt, I've been throwing a lot of questions at you, Alan, and I've going to put up on screen again just one article because a Bilderberg Group member, Mr. Wolf, is the editor of this, and their foreign affairs editor, Gideon Raikman, wrote the story, and now for a world government. I want to give you some time before we go to calls to flesh out more of, because this is key in my understanding, but I want to get your view and your nuanced understanding on this in some detail. Again, why now are they not just saying world government is what we need, but that they've secretly, this is all over the news, building a world government for decades. They have an image of cave drawings. You know, that's the editorial cartoon at the top of cave drawings, and then drawn on the wall next to images of primitive aborigines hunting deer and elk. and primitive bovine, they have the image of a globe or a world government. The message here I get is, we are the elite. We've been in control of your destiny for thousands of years, since primitive times. We've always wanted a world government, and now we're getting one. The ancient dream is being realized. I believe this is the esoteric meaning of the editorial drawing. Please give us your take on this.
Well, part of the drawing, too, is to do with primitive man hunting for his necessities. And, of course, it's all to do with evolution as well, coming from the primitive, from tribal, into global society. So from differences all coming together as one under one system of domination.
We have the wild humans being taken under the control. Go ahead.
And you also have this elite themselves, who do believe in evolution. They believe that they are the most evolved type of humans on the planet. And it's been written about by Wells and the Fabian Society and many, many others down through the last 100-odd years or more. They believe that they have the right to rule mankind because they've proven their worth by the accumulation of vast amounts of wealth, power over the public, control over the public, and they've held on to it through generations. In other words, they haven't squandered it away through bad breeding, as they call it. They have selective breeding, especially picked wives for them to breed with. And have been doing this for at least a couple of hundred years, as far as we know, as far as the inbreeding goes, in documents that they have put out themselves. Probably much, much longer. But they do believe they're evolved, and therefore they're simply taking their natural right, which is to dominate the planet. They say themselves, and we find in the writings of Charles Galton Darwin, who was one of them, he was the descendant of very inbred people, but they were all bred to be special scientists, and he hints at that in his own writings of the different types that were already bred to dominate the world. But he said that the dominant minority who will rule and own the world must not have their ability for self-preservation taken away, as the masses will have. The masses won't need self-preservation because the state will be making all the decisions for them. But he says, we, the elites, must retain our wild instincts. In other words, the laws will not apply to them. Any kind of law will not apply. That's why there's so many deviants.
We saw that in Rome, where the elite families and the Caesar could murder, kill, rape, steal, take anybody's daughter they wanted.
Yes.
They could force the lower Romans to give their daughters at age 12 into the temples, which were the prostitution centers. And we see the Romans training them that people being beat up and killed was entertainment, was fun, to dehumanize the public. And now we see Burger King. I did confirm what a listener told me a few days ago, with the new slogan, as if anybody else matters. And that speaks to the subconscious, to the id, the animal. Go ahead and hurt yourself. Go ahead and eat the MSG and aspartame, with a subconscious mirror of that they're really hurting the rest of the public and greedily only helping themselves.
That's right. So we've had this global system running. We know for hundreds of years, in reality, there never was democracy in Britain. Although it proclaimed it all the time, they had a democracy. They never, ever had that, because the British elite watched the French Revolution very, very carefully. And they knew that this was a movement that was going to keep going and pop up again and again, this drive for democracy, where the people wanted a say in their life and their lifestyles. Therefore, they decided to give the public a fake, a front. And it's worked very, very well. Margaret Thatcher, in one of her speeches, said that we are part of the parallel government that's unelected by the public. She said she was a member. She was simply, again, reiterating what Carl Quigley said, Professor Carl Quigley, when he also mentioned this parallel government. So they've been at it for a long, long time. The idea was to unite the world and unite many different tribes and peoples, cultures, through conflict. And therefore, the fastest way to do it was to create oppositions. They took over a good chunk of Europe and Siberia by the Soviet system. That standardized a massive chunk of it. They used the same technique in the Far East under the guise of communism. And now they call them democratic countries. But what they did was standardize one system copied from the British exoteric system into their system. And you have a standardized world now. Now it's time to bring it all together. Now that we're all have the same education systems, we're taught the same nonsense in school, We're all taught the same fake facts and histories and so on. So now they can standardize us quite simply and easily. And the front organization for this is the United Nations. When you look at the foundations, and that's how the parallel government operated, was the creation of foundations with masses of money to fund their NGOs. The Soviet system was run by NGOs. The leaders were picked by the Politburo. We now have them picked by the parallel government.
And the U.S. and British governments, allied foundations, openly ran the Soviet Union. So if you want to know what the future is, you only need to read what the foundations are saying. Why don't you tell folks what the foundation's main goals are, where we are in the world system, how deep we're actually into it, and what you think we're going to see with the economy unfold. And we're going to go to calls in the next few years, Alan.
Well, what they've said already is that the system they will bring in, it has to wean us away from our selfish need to for self-preservation and accumulation of personal wealth, regardless of the class you're born into.
So that's getting rid of our instinct to become independent, take care of ourselves in the hierarchy of needs, saying it's selfish to have a self-preservation mode. That's what all this environmentalism that's fake is about, is to make us feel bad about being humans so they can train us on loving our servitude, loving our feudal serfdom.
That's right. And it's also part of the British system of the Royal Institute of International Affairs, which runs the Council on Foreign Relations. And they have said that the world we bring in is one of servitude to the world state, servitude to the world state. And they will decide from the top what servitude means. It means giving your whole life, your whole activity, your energy, your very thoughts to the world state. It's based on the doctrine of Plato.
And who can have children? Eugenics, yes.
Yeah, Plato was a member of the ancient societies. He studied in Egypt. He was initiated in Egypt, the Palestine area, and then India. That was the standard route they went on. He wrote about it himself. And then he said in the book called Republic, the one that H.G. Wells said was his Bible, Plato said, what's the problem about owning all this money and having castles? He says, you're afraid of being robbed by the people. You're afraid you have to pay all your servants, etc. Isn't it far better that the people, under the guise that you're ruling them on their behalf, they build the castle for you, they supply its maintenance, they pay for the servants, they pay for anything that's stolen, they'll replace it for you. That's what we have today. This new system with its higher level of, and they'll still call themselves servants, the Kissinger types will live in their massive palaces, chauffeur-driven, etc., and still pretend they're part of you, the same as you. This was the Soviet system.
And every new crisis they create, they will always be the saviors for the next solution, which is even deeper into dehumanization and degradation. Here's an example. About a year ago, I have some employees, so the Texas Workforce Commission sent me a filing in the mail, and it said, you now have to answer these hundreds of questions every year. This is a North American Union survey. And I went on my show, I went on the web, I put it on the website, Infowars.com, and people commented that it wasn't real and it was fake. Now I have an image up on screen of Kroger's, and it says, product of U.S., Mexico, and Canada, or product of U.S., Canada, and Mexico. So everything's converting over to this. As you know, they started a year and a half ago, it's in my film Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, merging the European Union and the North American Union. Bush goes to the Rose Garden with Merkel and Barroso, announces it, but then anybody that talks about it is called a kook by Rush Limbaugh. So how do you see this conversion happening into the next year as they parallel continue to say it doesn't exist, while on the other side they say it does exist and is happening? I mean, how do you see the mind slaves out there who've been conditioned that this doesn't exist? I guess the conditioning is just meant to neutralize them long enough so they debate whether it exists or not until it's too late and already in place?
Yes, most folk are never really in a conscious reality at any time. Most of the people who are brainwashed, and that's the majority of the public, who get their reality from television. Television is so surrealistic, you cannot possibly retain your sanity and your cognitive thinking abilities and reasoning powers and watch it and enjoy it at the same time. You can't have both. It's meant to put you into a strange state where gradually, through osmosis almost, you come to accept new facts without ever consciously thinking through those facts. You adopt them. And you're upgraded like a computer program each time you look into it. And here's a bunch of new facts, and you'll parrot them too. And you won't even remember you had different facts that you parroted yesterday. That's already in society. That's how most folk are working today.
And that's what Orwell talked about, where it didn't matter if they said we're always at war with East Asia, and the next day we were never at war with East Asia. In Big Brother's world, they had to go back and destroy all the old newspapers and TV programs. Here, they just run it all parallel and say, I mean, they've skipped to the final phase where Winston's on the gurney being tortured, and he says, do I have 4 fingers, 2 fingers, 5 fingers, 10 fingers? And he says, look, just tell me how many fingers to see. And he said, no. Mm-hmm. What I want you to do is see all fingers at once and not be able to differentiate and just lay there like a jellyfish. And he goes, oh, now I see. I love Big Brother. And O'Brien says, now you understand. We're here to tear you apart and dominate you. We are the priest of power, survival of the fittest. This is about crushing humanity and even ourselves and reducing the language down to nothing, and we see they've now done that.
That's right. They have done it. There are people who are halfway waking up, and it's like Winston on the table again, and he says, I'm really trying to see four. And O'Brien says, that's not good enough. You've got to really believe it. And so they're in a quagmire, really, of conflicting facts, because fear works in most people. People are afraid. And this, again, is why we're getting this predictive programming of the coming conflicts.
And O'Brien, finish in a moment, this is so key. O'Brien wants him to have that mental break into delusion, into mental illness. That's what the system, the schools do. They train you how to be insane. It's insane to want to drink fluoride and eat GMO food. It's insane to drink aspartame and MSG and excitotoxins. It's insane to have cancer up by 3,000-4,000% and diabetes and autism. It's insane to be attacking innocent countries and to have the White House press secretary say Iraq loves us, they all love us. Meanwhile, they have polls over there of 90%+ hating what the United States does, but she comes to the U.S. and says, no, they all love us.
That's right. Yeah, the official version is, you see, we're living under what's becoming open authoritarianism. It truly is the Orwellian system, and yet it's only to be for part of a phase, the 30-year phase, and in comes the Huxleyan part of it, because at the end of the 30 years and during the 30 years, they hope to bring forth the new type of enhanced human that will serve them better, that will be unable to even dream of conflict against their masters.
And this is a 30-year hot war against humanity. Then it goes into the THX-1138 lobotomized suboid population.
Yes, and this present generation is dying off. It's dying off, even in the Army's War College's own figures. And the studies they do, you have to really look at their studies. They use history to the maximum. That's why they chose 30 years. They studied the 30 years war. That was
and they say,
the
we've got the American people. We've enslaved them. And that's what's so horrifying, is to read all this, to show the viewers this, to know they're cold-bloodedly doing this. This is not our military. This is not our government. I mean, what is this we're facing? What is this scientific technocracy?
Yes. Well, and as I say, the military college has already had a big bunch of articles up on projected population declines in the West, and because they've been following it for 50 years since they've been sterilizing the Western males. And they know in 30 years' time we'll all be dead with cancers and so on, and infertile anyway. So they've said themselves that many of the European countries are past the point of repopulation, of coming back again in the same numbers they were before. So,
and they crow this. They brag on NPR. Isn't it great the evil West is dying? Isn't it wonderful? Oh, yes. I mean, these are the sickest. This is nihilistic self-suicide.
Yeah, I tell you, Hitler was a Boy Scout compared to these boys.
All right, we come back. I'm going to go to calls the next hour. When we come back, though, I want to talk about the minions, the technocrats that have a piece of the pyramidal structure, who know it's eugenics, but who have this fake environmental idea that humans are bad and it's a great thing to kill off the parasites. Don't they understand that it's they themselves and their families that are also going to be wiped out?
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. the hairs on
bottom line, this is a bunch of globalist control freaks.
At the terror in each sip.
Playing God. Taking control of our genetics, the planet's genetics. Taking control of our water, our food. One-child policies, controlled plagues, all of it. Alan, getting back into the question I asked you about the minions of this system. They're trained that their identity is being members of the elite, but 99% of them are not true members of the elite, and they're going against their very human code. Can you speak to their programming and ways to break that or ways to defeat this? Alan Watt.
Well, they are the bureaucratic types that Orwell shows. The movie that was done in Britain with Richard Burton and John Hurt were excellent, really. They showed you this bureaucratic elite that controls the masses. They kept saying the masses don't count. They call them the proles. They kept saying the proles don't count. In other words, they would take whatever they were given. The main thrust of propaganda and indoctrination was actually done on the bureaucratic class themselves, who had to adapt to the new paradigms that were given to them every other week and really believe it themselves. And, of course, the Winston character was one of those bureaucrats. He broke free of it himself, or else his indoctrination didn't take quite properly, and he was being observed. Now, I've talked to quite a few bureaucrats, and they are in a strange state between reality. They know what's going on. They're quite aware of it. They also have this battle of self-interest. They do love the lifestyle they're given. They're very well paid. They mix with their own kind all the time. They read the books they're advised to read. There's lots of books put out there by intellectuals that are designed to work on the bureaucratic class to re-bolster their present belief systems as being superior. And yet they themselves are also afraid that they'll fall from grace. That's the worst thing that could happen to one of these lifelong bureaucrats, especially the hereditary ones, is falling from grace and falling down amongst the cesspools, they say, of the masses, the unwashed masses. So they do know that their time is numbered too, because eventually there will be no more use for them. However, each one who is alive today will believe they'll live their life in a fair, good standard of luxury. While the system goes down, they don't care very much about those that come after them, as long as they're okay. So self-interest plays a big, big part in all of this.
I've got the Phoenix Business Journal today on the heels of us yesterday writing a story about this. Arizona police say they're prepared as War College warns military must prep for unrest. IMF warns of economic crises and riots. And we, meanwhile, have all these presidents and prime ministers coming out saying we're now going to have a depression. So while they were getting their own money prepared and safe, they were telling the public everything was fine. Now they're coming in trying to destroy confidence. This is just incredible.
Well, what's even more so is the fact that when you look through the Army War College's own predictions from their think tanks, they say that there will be, during this time of rioting and conflict across the globe, during the 30 years, there will be safe havens for the elite and the high-level bureaucrats themselves in certain parts of the world, which will live at a very high standard of luxury compared to the rest of the planet.
All right,
Alan. They're building in the Middle East right now, too. That's one of them.
Yeah, Dubai and other areas. Stay there, Alan. We're going to take calls coming up in the next hour. But then at the bottom of the hour, I'm just going to give you the floor because you bring up so many things, so many points, you know, where I want to jump in. I'm going to give you the floor so you can go into any areas you think are most important. Stay with us. Back live, ladies and gentlemen, into the fourth and final hour today. Our guest is Alan Watt. For anyone that doubts that the New World Order social engineers would do horrible things to society, they publicly funded the Maoist, now declassified. All the old-timers in the military came back and told us that in 49 the U.S. government put them into power and then funded them to kill at least 60 million people. That's a conservative number. Some estimates are as high as 86 million. The big New York and London banks funded the Bolsheviks in 1917. Declassified on record. Mainline history. Just not on the nightly news. They funded Hitler, the Milner Group. They put him into power. They set him up. And so if you think they won't bring in a worldwide depression so they can openly set up world government foreign by the banks where you buy your carbon credits directly from them, you got another thing coming. All those years we told you they would do just that, now they're announcing it and doing it. We don't deserve any accolades here, folks. We just weren't under mind control. We could read what the Club of Rome and IMF and World Bank and Council on Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commission were saying and doing in their own policy reports. We're going to come back in the next segment and go to all the callers, Matt, Chris, Ben, Brian, Tim, and many others that are patiently holding. But in this short segment, Alan Watt, we've talked about the mindset of the outer party. You have the proles, the outer party, and the inner party in the pyramidal structure. The inner party at the top, the outer party and the elite, who are some of the most oppressed and surveilled. The NSA is really there to spy on them, control them, burn a few of their minions to keep them all in line, selectively enforcing laws. Let's talk about some of the lower-level minions, the police, the military, those that have been slowly twisted to accept all of this. What do they have to look forward to going along with this system?
Well, what we have is really what's already happened over many years. And we've had a generation who've grown up very often in single-parent families, no fathers. Their choices were either join the local gang that replaces your father, that's the only male figure you have, but they've also been brought up with video games and violence and guys wearing black uniforms with power and badges who seem to be the winners. That's what young men see.
So they change the male archetype to a thug with an ugly look on his face, all the toys now, who's a UN soldier who beats people's brains in with no due process. And so the males then, like a baby duck, imprint on that through Cobra Commander.
There's no doubt at all. And they have raised a generation worldwide to have this image of the black uniform, the power, the big machine gun, and booting around these little people that don't even seem to be human to these people in uniform. You see, the indoctrination, the scientific indoctrination of the military is very, very precise.
And they know that males want to be warriors, so they say your dad, your grandpa, your grandma, they can't teach you how to shoot. You can't be armed. Civilians can't be armed. That gun culture's bad. But then if you go join the dark side, then you're allowed to carry out these male activities.
You have that, but you also have the tribalism is allowed to basically progress. You see, in society, they've stopped basic tribalism. It's been condemned until it's a taboo subject.
And then created false systems within their control.
That's right. So you can join this fraternity, this brotherhood, and suddenly you're one of the gang. Yeah, they'll fight and die for you. You'll lie for each other. The cops have been doing that forever. So that's the whole paradigm there. And they're well paid. They can also have little goodies and little things that the general public can't get access to.
Special status.
Yes.
Take California, where upwards of 1 million people can't get tickets, can't get DWIs, can't get red light cameras, because their license number is encoded in the computer as above the law.
That's correct. And so you do have a militarized youth. They've grown up with the games. They've been desensitized to killing, because that's what games are all about, is getting from the beginning to the end and killing as much as possible. So that's what it is to be a man to these characters. They see the public really as its. They don't see them as people anymore. Powerless its.
Yeah. It's an us against them. They teach them we're civilian scum. They're the godlike creatures that are doing all these bad things for their own safety and their brotherhood. But the brotherhood really is there to flush them down the toilet, and the bankers are about to take their pension funds as well. Alan Watts, stay there. Phone calls straight ahead right here on GCN and PrisonPlanet.tv.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are back live with Alan Watt, our guest. I want to go ahead and go to your phone calls. First up is Matt in Iowa. Matt, thank you for holding. You're on the air worldwide. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to pass along to you. I don't know if you'd seen, you were talking about cops and other shows that kind of accustom people to presence of armed public servants, quote-unquote, in their lives. But I was watching ABC, and this new show, Homeland Security USA, is going to be on.
Yeah, they're showing us who our new bosses are and how we're going to have national police with the military. And again, everybody they go after is always guilty in these made-for-TV shows and dramas and then real-life shows. There's a whole bunch of new Homeland Security shows, and it's come out. The federal government is funding and financing, but not just here. Governments worldwide are producing similar shows. Go ahead.
The other thing I wanted to talk about, too, was I was Christmas shopping the other day, and there were these younger kids hanging out in the mall distributing Go Green bags, which is whatever, that's fine, giving out bags to reuse again. But on the side of it, it said Go Green. Underneath of it was Midwest One Bank. And the O in the Go Green was scarily similar to the O of Obama's logo or whatever.
Oh, well, they're going to have the Environmental Brigade, the Youth Brigades, the Elderly Brigades, and Obama's website said it will be compulsory for everybody to serve the government, and then his chief of staff has said that, written a book about it. Obama's given speeches, and then when we made a big deal out of it, he pulled that off his website, but is going ahead with the programs. Alan Watt comments on what he was talking about.
Yeah, this whole system is guaranteed to be run under the guise of greening. The Green Party was set up to actually start kick off that whole agenda, and that will be the big stick. It's to do with depopulation as part of it. They keep hammering there's too many of us. We can't go on with unrestricted consumption, sustainability. It's in every single speech they're making from every quarter, from every country, and so that's being hammered into the general population that we are responsible for the terrible state of the world. And it's all our fault, and we've got to start cutting our numbers drastically and stop consuming the way we are. We've got to remember, too, that Bertrand Russell, who only gave out everything that he learned from the big world meetings he attended, the big think tanks that planned all this, he said eventually they'd have to create some kind of situation where eventually governments would dish out credits instead of money, and so the bank would be run through the government to the people themselves individually. So we'll all be issued with credits. Now, these guys have planned this for a long, long time. We're simply going through the script right now.
Now, to be clear, you've said this, I've said this, we're only reading government documents, what they've been quietly planning, now they're unveiling it. The private banks come in, issue all this liquidity, infect all the stocks, the bonds, the mutual funds, the 401ks, the pensions, the government pensions, fire, police, teachers. They set all this up. Then they implode the economy. They come in as the savior, and they say the new model is you'll pay your taxes directly to the IMF and World Bank. And now suddenly the last few years, you don't fill out your income tax to the exchequer. You don't fill out your income tax in the United States to the IRS. And now it's to the Federal Reserve. It's now to the private Bank of England. And then last week in the New York Times and in a bunch of other publications, all on the same day, simultaneously, they announce, well, we're going to go ahead and probably bankrupt U.S. T-bills and bonds. You know, we're blowing that out worldwide. You'll now buy your securities that have, quote, government backing by taxpayers directly from the private Federal Reserve. So your world ID card with your credits on it, and people are trying to buy cash, headlights, batteries, toothpaste, everywhere. They're demanding now, even with a $5 purchase, hey, you've got to give me your name and number, and that is to get you ready for the cashless society and to destroy the underground economy, because they'll say, wait a minute, you've bought more than what your paycheck says. You must be doing underground barter, and that's why they want to tax the web, and they're now announcing that. So it's all coming into fruition, and then I just posted up on the screen the Kurt Nemo article, Democrats determined to reimpose fairness doctrine. Look at that Orwellian term. It's like the Patriot Act or the New Freedom Initiative, all taking your freedom. The Daily Post in Palo Alto is reporting what Congress is saying. They do intend to restrict free speech on internet radio, AM and FM, everything. The FCC announcing they will control, quote, speech on the internet. Alan Watt.
Yeah, that's true. And even Google and all the big boys have come out with their main servers saying they're now going to see who will be pushed on the web and all the different search engines and who they will restrict. So this is the censorship already here. But you're right, to do with purchasing. 10 years ago in Canada and most countries across Europe too, suddenly if you bought tires for your car, they would want your full name and address and so on. Now they want to know your vehicle. And I asked a guy in the store, he says, yeah, it's actually the law. He showed me it on the computer. It is the law that they must find out what car you have, its registration number and everything, before you can buy tires.
Amazing. Again, punch up on screen, guys, this article that I put up here. Democrats determined to reimpose fairness doctrine. Going back to the caller, did you have anything else you wanted to add, sir?
Yeah, I was just going to. I was wondering if you guys think that Homeland Security or is synonymous with Gestapo, or if Obama's O is synonymous with the very swastika. Was that embraced like Obama's being embraced in pre-Nazi Germany, or?
Well, yes, we're having the same fascistic, basic symbols, basic tribalism. They're bringing us into the crisis in the messages in the media. Obama is your savior. Just put your trust in him, when he was the biggest cheerleader for the banker takeover. But then I hear the Democrats saying, no, he will save us from the evil bankers. Alan Watt?
Yeah, it is true, too. And his speech at the end of the election, he wore the red and white and black tie. His wife wore red and black. And that's the colors of Nazi fascism, socialism. Yeah.
But it can't be Nazism because he's a black guy. No, it's the corporate fascist model. It's the corporate fascist model, and it can come in Idi Amin. It can come under Hitler. Go ahead, Alan. You're making a point.
Yeah, they love to show you their agenda right in your face, knowing it's like the Masons say, we never speak so openly as when we do in public. The public never understand what they're really hearing or seeing either. But they do show you that in symbols and colors, this is all Pythagorean, the color coding and so on. It goes back for thousands of years. But they do go along with this, and you have to go into Obama's mother to find out why she was raised, what she was trained for, and you'll find that she was trained to be a world revolutionary and actually to literally breed an offspring to be the president one day.
All right, Matt, thank you for the call. Let's go ahead and talk to Chris in Arizona. Chris, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, Alex. I've been listening for about, since 2005. I was over in Kuwait for a year, and one of my friends, he's a Iraq vet, and he woke me up to this stuff. I didn't want to believe it at first, but, I've been listening to your radio show, and I got a lot of your videos. And they really woke me up, and I just want to thank you for that, first of all.
Well, don't thank me, sir. My family, myself, your family, Alan, none of us have any future if these social engineers, these madmen, these control freaks, these hyper-dominant people that want to literally kill us and engineer who's left, either they're defeated or we're destroyed. And so don't thank me. Thank God you woke up. Thank God something in your background let you break your conditioning and the false paradigm you were in. So understand, people always thank me for what I'm doing, or thank Alan, or thank others. Listen, we are only doing what a normal person historically would do when faced with this type of attack. I mean, when the globalists openly announce they're waging war against humanity, all I can do is fight back against them. Alan?
We have no choice in the matter. If you truly understand what's happening, you have no choice. You cannot sit with the knowledge. It'll kill you otherwise. You have to get it out there.
Absolutely. Anything else, sir?
Well, I just, one of my friends I work with, he just bought a firearm, and it was one of those big Desert Eagle 50s, And he told me about, next year, the 2009 models are going to have GPSs in them.
Yes.
And
everything
so
is RFID in the guns. Everything is under Schwarzenegger marking the shell casing. That will then force adoption of that nationwide and worldwide. It's all happening. They're coming for the guns. And people think that's just some archetypal thing I say. The troops are openly been training for decades to door-to-door, shut off the food and water, and then 99% of people, on average, they believe, I don't believe that's accurate, more like 90%, will turn their guns in. Then they'll go after the rest of the people. They know who's got guns. It is registration when you fill out the yellow form. It's long gun, shotgun, or handgun, and it's now being prepared. The good news is, though, Alan, and I appreciate your call, sir, the good news is that people have bought the gun stores bare. The ammo has basically been sold out. Record gun purchases, that shows. And then Obama comes out and says, don't worry, I only want to ban some of your guns and restrict some of them. Stop buying guns. And the BATF is now harassing gun dealers and trying to get on the local news, telling people don't buy guns. So it doesn't seem like things are working for them, Alan.
Yeah, they do expect trouble. They do expect the problems. What they're hoping for is, and I don't think they're even hoping for it, they've got it set up already that this rapid reaction force will be pulled in from other countries to deal. See, they don't want to turn. They know that there's going to be a problem down the road if their own people, if your own American soldiers start killing Americans. Eventually, they get to a stage, and they found this in Nazi Germany during with the firing squads. They get to a stage where the guys who are killing their own people start to break down. So they prefer to bring in foreign troops to do it. And that's what the whole international rapid reaction forces are all about. The same thing happened in Beijing. China didn't bring in the usual Chinese soldiers. They brought in the ones from the far north, Mongolian types, and they had little in common with the average Chinese and had no problem killing them.
Well, they did that in Poland. They'd bring people from the east to the west and the north to the south. And for those that don't know, when we come back, I'm going to briefly list all the mainstream news, the Pentagon, the British, major war college reports. The biggest army recruiting centers and marine centers are in Mexico. They're in the Eastern Europe. They're in the Philippines. So already in our military is a bunch of foreigners. They're also hiring violent felons, foreigners who are aggravated felons for the military. That's Washington Times, Washington Post, both telling you how great it is. They've also signed a deal to use Canadian and Mexican troops in the United States. That's been in the Toronto Star and other publications. Congress said, hey, we weren't consulted earlier this year, and they were told shut up by NORTHCOM. So they do have foreign troops ready to come, take your guns, and rape and kill you. I've played this quite a few times, but the next segment I'm going to play and get Alan Watts' take on it. There's a bunch of video games out in the last decade, like Shattered Union. And in some of these games, your job, you work for the Illuminati, for the world government, you hunt down and kill militias. You torture militia members to death. In one game, when you get to the final level, you get into a safe. And you know, at the top of the Illuminati, and one of my videos, Police State 2000, is the great secret inside of the safe. I don't know why the establishment does that, or why they keep sticking my voice or my rants in video games, and in some cases without my permission. And then one time they went to the network and got the rights, I think for like $300 to put me in one. But the point is, we'll get Alan's take on why that's happening. Right now, let's go back to the calls. Brian in Canada, you're on the air with Alan Watt.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Pretty good.
I'd like to thank you, Alex. I know what you said before, but even though I was aware like a deer that knew it was hunting season, it wasn't until you led me in the right direction in 2005 that I started to make some sense of my life. Today I was calling me. I did want to talk about my prime minister puppet and cell phones and things like that. But I noticed that there's a lie being propounded out there, and there's a chance that even our side of truthers might buy into that lie. And that lie would be that this is the first time that there's a one-world power. I'm getting kind of tired of reminding people and asking them if they've ever heard of a little place called Babel and a little guy called Nimrod, because that was actually the first global world power. And at that time, he had one language. He probably had everybody compartmentalized the way they do it now, too. But there was only one language. And when God came down and messed them up, well, all the different languages went off with all their little pieces of what to do.
Yeah, that story is of the system breaking apart, that global empire, and that sector, and then the Romans, and then the Roman Catholic Church, and the British Empire.
Believe that this is what's led us to this. He had to go out across the world to get back all of his little recipe books of how to get back this one world power, and that's why he's on this breakneck speed to get it done now, because he's never been so close as he's been now.
All right, let me get Alan's take on that, because he's our guest. Go ahead, Alan Watt.
The symbol of Nimrod is that is world power. Nimrod is also the same as the Satan, really, in the ancient literature. And his wife as well, as being the ultimate rebels who swore that they would rise higher than all the gods and dominate the universe, basically. So it's the same old power elite idea of the psychopath who's a megalomaniac who truly believes that he has the right to dominate the whole planet.
And it's not just dominate creation and the fellow humans. They state that they want to make war on the heavens. They want to become gods. And whether you believe it or not, they do. And my parents were just over in Germany last year, and they took back all this video and showed me of where the Germans, even during World War II, built a big armored dome over Ishtar's Gate and the seat of Satan from where Babylon was in Iraq, and that Hitler believed he was invincible because he had the seat of Satan.
Yes, that is true. Hitler did have his own special mediums. He had his, he was into the New Age. He was a theosophist. Theosophy is the same philosophy as the elite all believe in. Rockefeller himself sponsored the main magazine for the Lucifer Trust. It used to be called the Lucifer Trust. And Lucifer to them, of course, is the epitome of the ideal intellectualized Superman to come. They believe they're the progenitors of the Supermen to come.
But they have to destroy this creation to build their new creation. Finishing up, caller Brian in Canada, with your point about your puppet, Stephen Harper, suspending Parliament with the Queen twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that too, even though he suspends Parliament, he still has dictatorial powers during that period, apparently. We didn't know that either.
And we're seeing this all over the world. Anything else, Brian?
Yeah, I was just saying that that drove me nuts up here because he even exposed himself in front of all of us. I was here the first few days that he called the election. The American market was crashing every day. And the news would start to pressure him, like, what about this? And the first few days he got very mad and adamant and said, Canada is not the United States and we're not going to suffer the same thing as them. And then 4 days later, when our economists started coming out saying, yes, Mr. Harper, we are going to suffer, then he stood in front of the news and he stated that they knew about this 15 months ago and started taking measures.
Well, I mean,
right there, he exposed himself.
Alan, why is he in your papers today saying there's going to be a depression?
Well, he waits for his lines. He's a bit behind the times at times. He waits for his lines being sent to him from London. You understand that Canada is still part of the British Commonwealth. Not one law gets passed in Canada without the Queen's signature. So even though they call it democracy. So he waits for his orders, and they shift accordingly, according to the mood of the people. So he does what he's told. He's a puppet, for sure. Yeah.
All right, Brian, thanks for the call. More calls straight ahead, and this Shattered Union clip when I come out of break. Not just the audio now. If you're watching at PrisonPlanet.tv, you can see it. We're live at PrisonPlanet.tv right now. Go over there and check it out. I love this species. I love humanity, and I have great hopes and dreams for my progeny, living with your progeny in the future. I know I'm part of a great cycle of life. We're on a beautiful planet hurtling through space, and I want to stop the greedy, controlling, covetous New World Order control freaks that are so greedy they want to control the future and shape humanity in their degraded, degenerate image. That's the basic psychology we're dealing with. I want to punch up on screen, and we're going to go back to Alan Watt. I want to get his take on this. This is the trailer of one of, it's got to be more than 100 games, that push, we're going to have martial law, things are going to break down, it's cute and funny, and we're looking forward to it. This is all part of the acclamation. Here it is, Shattered Union.
In a disputed election and a tie vote, the U.S. Congress installs the most unpopular president in U.S. history, as David Jefferson Adams becomes the 44th president of the United States. Shortly after the election, increased unrest, rioting, and a growing number of militias have given rise to ever-increasing domestic terrorism. In response, the president invokes the Homeland Security Act and declares martial law on the West Coast and other areas of the country. Though highly contested, a Supreme Court ruling sidesteps the electoral process, disqualifying popular presidential candidates from several states. Public outrage explodes when a sham election leads to incumbent David Adams accepting a second term in office. During the 57th Inauguration Day ceremonies, Washington, D.C. is struck by a low-yield nuclear weapon, killing David Adams and most of the U.S. Congress. The destruction of Washington, D.C. effectively breaks the chain of succession, sending the nation into chaos. In an emergency vote, the European Union deploys peacekeepers in the greater D.C. area to secure international interests. With separatist sentiment rising, California's governor declares home rule and secedes from the Union. Texas follows quickly and declares sovereignty, taking neighboring states with them and forming the Republic of Texas. Now, once United States of America lie in ruin. The time for words has passed, and a second American Civil War now erupts as seven factions wage war across the land. They battle one another to reclaim a nation, to restore peace, to rebuild this shattered union.
All right. Now, notice they gave an Abraham Lincoln quote. Who is Barack Obama telling us that he's modeled after Abraham Lincoln? Now, the British came in and manipulated both sides, got the South to break off. My family was in the South, but I'll tell you right now, it was staged. British intelligence openly manipulated that. The Russian Empire sided with the North. The British sided with the South, giving them weapons. They meant to break up the country. That's now been declassified. That's in the major British annals, to try to break up the country. The same thing is being set up now. You do not want a riot. You want to defend your family. You want to take care of your family. You want to reach out to the military and police to educate them not to come out and confiscate guns. Now, once they do it, that's another subject. But you don't want to go out looking for them, trying to engage them. Police and military, if you don't out and out ignore those orders, you need to just sit on your butts and not be part of this. They're going to stage riots. They are going to prepare everybody. This is the game plan. If we get the word out on this, we may back them off. They may cancel the operation. We haven't had more big terror attacks staged here, though they were planning it because we exposed the false flag attacks of 9/11. But you talk about predictive programming, Alan Watt. Hundreds of these video games have similar lines in them, and they are conditioning the public for this. And when I would first air this 2 or 3 years ago in other video game clips, people would laugh and say, that'll never come. We'll never have foreign troops. We'll never have. And now it's on the news that it is happening, and the Marines are in the West Coast, just like the states, running checkpoints. So the people that made this game were definitely being given inside information. Alan Watt.
But it, the intelligence communities have basically been in charge of video games from their inception. That was their whole idea, was to militarize the public, at least get to the recruits that they'd want, who were conditioned to kill on site when they were told to. And so they've always been in charge of video games. Otherwise, you know, we tend to think that industry and commerce just develops on its own happenstance, and that's not true. Those who are in power never let anything out into the public unless it's a good purpose to serve those at the top. And when it comes to toys and things, but believe you me, they don't militarize the minds of youth unless there's something for that youth to grow up into doing down the road. So they've always been in charge of video games, but not only that, they've been in charge of the whole culture industry. And now there are books coming out with declassified information admitting that. The whole culture for 50 years has been controlled by the CIA. But the most recent movies coming out of Hollywood, I think 9 of them are disaster-based movies with this future scenario that's almost here, all on the same theme. So this is mainstream now, indoctrination and predictive programming of what's to come. And it ties in exactly with that strategic studies report from the military that said it might even break down to civil war within the United States, and even a civil war with nuclear weapons.
Well, and then we have Tommy Franks going out, and it turned out he was being paid $500,000 a year by the Pentagon to go out and give interviews in the press and print and TV, going, I'm real sad, but martial law is the only thing that will keep you safe, and it is coming. So again, we think there might be riots, boo-hoo, we've got to go out and attack the American people. And again, now the Arizona police say, you know, we reported on this yesterday, dealing with the fact that the Army War College says they're preparing to attack the American people. That's going to be their main mission now domestically, and people denied that the report was real. Here it is in the Arizona Business Journal for everybody in their face. Go ahead.
Yes, so it's in the open now that they're conditioning the general population to this is inevitable, and they do know that the bulk of the population will always sit on the back seat and watch what happens. They're afraid. See, violence itself, and law runs on the threat of violence, it's coercion. Most people go along with law because they're coerced to do so, and coercion, if it's not followed or doesn't work, will be backed up with force. Most people understand that subconsciously, and they want to be left alone, and they hope that nothing drastic will happen to them if they sit back and let it happen. They don't realize that this is a war that's going to continue right down to the bottom level, and no one's going to be unscathed by it. You're not going to get out of it. So everyone must participate in stopping it from happening in the first place. That's how you stop these things from happening. Everyone's got to get involved now. Mm-hmm. and stop being entertained by television and demand their voice back. We cannot leave this to the experts. The experts work for the psychopaths. Most of the experts are psychopaths, and we've got to nip this in the bud right now.
Now, Alan, we know that they have their own predictive wargaming with computers, and before that with their sociologists, psychologists, and others. You know they bargained for an Alan Watt and Alex Jones. You know they bargained for the people to resist, though I've seen in their white papers, I don't know if this is disinfo, that the rebellion is much bigger, much more coordinated, much more widespread. That's why they're saying they want to shut down the free web and take us to Internet, too, as Google and, of course, Obama are doing. How do we feed into this, the wild card? Because it looks like things are not going well for them, and we know they want to act like they're God and omnipresent and invincible and want to use AI to try to do that, but they really aren't. So how do shows like this and your website, Cutting Through the Matrix, how does all that feed into this?
What they're afraid of are people who have the knowledge, the background, the history, and the facts to back up the exclamations we're giving out right here. To public, who can then use that and run with it and teach others. That's what they're afraid of. They don't care about all the wild and wacky websites out there that mix it all together into fantasy, but they're after the people who have the knowledge. Now, Russell himself said this time would come. He said where if we cannot recruit these people to leave their own class behind them and join us, we'll have to eliminate them. And that's coming up. I don't know about you, but I've had overtures recently from the big world organizations to join them. Very urgent, very polite invitations to come and speak at their world meetings. And I know this is the last attempt before they simply eliminate me. I know this is coming.
Well, I mean, I've had major radio networks try to hire me years ago. I've been approached by some of the biggest Hollywood studios wanting to put my material out. Kind of golden handcuffs, as they say. I know that I have been approached, and it's always done under confidence, so I can't break that as a journalist, the confidence. But other things happen, like we call up Rothkopf, you know, former head of the Kissinger Group, who wrote the book Superclass earlier in the year, admitting that world government's here and they run everything. And when I got him on the line, my producer had set him up. He goes, I know who you are, Alex Jones. Yeah, we watch your work. You know, you really ought to. And John Harmon, you know, was the only witness to this because he was up in Minnesota and I was on the line with him. They'd called him saying, you know, you really ought to join us. You know, there's nothing you can really do. And I've had other people contact me and say, listen, the public scum, you know, they're a bunch of trash, a bunch of backstabbing garbage. They will destroy you. You need to join us. You're one of us. So it's so that, yes, I have had those overtures and I know that. That's how the threat works. It's like, look, we're giving you a chance. We're not like Pol Pot, who just killed anybody who could read or wore glasses, you know, who could see through his garbage. They try to co-opt, and you think that rebuffing repeated co-ops is a sign that they're going to another level?
Absolutely. When you get them coming one after another for world meetings, you know this is the last overture. And they've pretty well hinted at much of their writings from these institutes, at the war colleges, etc., that they'll have to stop all agitators, as they call it.
Well, we must be getting through to them because we can be confronting Marines on the streets of Austin doing psyops or Marine spokesmen in California. I mean, we call them up and we're like, oh, we know who you are, Alex Jones. Yeah, we're fully aware of your operations. And then they tell us all about our website and stories we wrote. I mean, so that tells me we're really having an effect when their own establishment is aware of what we're doing. I mean, it shows that we're having an effect.
Yeah, there's no doubt on that. I had some bureaucrats who went to Washington, D.C., and in the cocktail parties, people were mentioning the names of, that are making a difference. And it's common talk amongst those particular classes. So we are making some difference, absolutely. We've been noticed. And not just noticed, but highly monitored and watched. So,
well, you know, Bill Clinton was in town last year, and my wife's mother has been active in the Democratic Party. So it was a Democratic Party dinner, and there was about 100 people there, and they're all around Bill Clinton talking. And somebody said, "What do you think?" Not my wife's mother, but one of her friends said, "What do you think about Alex Jones? You know, the radio and TV guy who's talking about the New World Order." And Bill Clinton said, let me think of the exact quote, Alex Jones is one of the most important commentators, and what he's saying is some of the most important things being said in the world. And they said, "You mean Alex Jones, the the young anti-New World Order guy?" He said, "Yeah, Alex Jones," and mentioned some things. I mean, that is just absolutely incredible, and it's kind of bone-chilling, Alan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they are monitoring, as I say, anyone who they claim is an agitator or someone that can break through the matrix.
But why would he say something nice about me?
It doesn't necessarily be nice. See, what they're saying is what we are saying is important. In other words, it's true. And, of course, it means that this, because it's so true, they cannot ignore it. But they also hope the public or the general public will be overwhelmed by their regular media, which keeps them in limbo.
Well, Alan, isn't there something even more? Within the pyramidal structure, according to Rothkopf and others, and I agree, there's only about 3,000 to 6,000 people that even have 95% of the big picture, and that we've reverse-engineered from their documents and reading different compartments of their operation really accurately what they're doing. And so the few commentators or reporters out there that actually know what they're doing and accurately are reporting it, they are recognizing that, because even within their own elite, most of their people don't realize the big picture. And I think that's another danger, is members of the elite, members of the establishment who didn't have the full picture are hearing and seeing what we have to say, and I think that's causing them some problems. Another example is General Stubblebine's wife, Dr. Labo, treats a head of state, and they've given me evidence of this. They can't say the name on air. And the head of state's like, "I know, I'm sad that we have to kill everybody, and I kind of don't like it. But this is how it was brought up." So I think the establishment, a lot of them, except for that inner core, are having second thoughts about this.
Well, what I've found, and this is factual as well, when governments, the U.S. government and the Canadian government, and I think the British one too, stopped their employees from going into my website at their work, is banned now. They can't get in.
Oh, yeah.
And lots of them have told me that. When that's happened, you see, it's more important to them that their bureaucrats live under their own little illusions. They cannot afford to have their bureaucracies waking up, because that really is important to them. They are generally kept in a state of double think, double speak. They're never really... But when you come out, when they hear people talking the truth, the work they're involved in suddenly becomes more clear to them. They realize the whys and the wherefores for the first time, because they themselves have been heavily programmed, and that's what the leader are afraid of. The elites need the massive bureaucratic class to guide all of this into place and to keep it working.
And historically, it's the minion servant class to the elite that is one of the most surveilled, oppressed, controlled, and murdered and abused groups. So they need to come out and join Free Humanity. And yes, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, banned in Europe at the major train stations, and quote, free government Wi-Fis, banned in government institutions, banned at Dell, CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. I've seen the screenshots online that where it says banned. This is extreme, when all you're doing is posting and reporting on their own documents, Alan. I want to come back and take a few final calls. We got to have you back again soon, from Tim, Sherry, Tom, and Elliot. I don't know how many we can get to, but we're going to try. But before we end this segment, what are some of the things that are most important to you right now that we haven't covered, Alan?
The important things really are, see, what the leader, it follows on what you've been talking about. So they're watching us as well. What they're looking for, not so much is for people who simply put the information out, but can those people be potential leaders? If you have that ability to bring people together with a common stance on something, then you're very, very, very dangerous. And they're waiting to see how we react, we on the radio react, when we influence so many people, when basically the shit hits the fan.
So
that's what they're waiting to see.
We're being used as a gauge. We're being used as an overall war game to see how the public's responding.
To see how they're responding, and to see if we ourselves will come out with ways and innovative ways they haven't foreseen to start to get people bonding together in a common stance against this tyranny. If we have that ability, we are very, very dangerous.
Well, it's a little too late. I mean, this canary's sung. I mean, we put our information out, and I think that's the only reason we're still walking around, Alan Watt.
It probably is. If we go to the next level of advising what to do, would then were really would be very, very well noticed then.
All right, I want to skip this break for just PrisonPlanet.tv viewers and for folks listening to the InfoWars.com audio streams. For everybody else in the AM and FM shortwave satellite, we'll be right back in 3 minutes to jam in some final calls. Stay with us. Alan, I think they're going to have trouble killing us. Instead, what I see happening is this flotilla of mainstream TV shows demonizing myself and others, attacking 9/11 truth, attacking the alternative media, and then trying to shut down the web. Now, then down the road, they may try to set us up with some type of crime or burn us out, as they've tried to physically do with you. Do you concur with that?
That's very, very possible. As I say, if they can't win you over, they have to eliminate you. And if you do have the ability to guide lots of people in a common purpose or a cause, then they'll definitely have to do something about it.
Well, I want to state on record that the elite is not invincible, and we've had many victories against them. The only way to stop them, though, is to get the mass, you know, large portions of it, like Winston finally figures out that the secret is the proles, not what he'd always been told about it being the party and the inner party. We have to find people out there in the general public that will resist and will speak out, and I see that happening. Let's go ahead and go to some calls. Tim in Ohio, you're on the air with Alan Watt. Thanks for holding. Go ahead, Tim.
Hi, Alex.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Haven't talked to you in a while, and a couple of things, a comment and a question. Hadn't talked to you since the convention, and I have never, ever seen evil personified in a woman's face like that Michelle Malkin. Oh, my God. She should change her name to Medusa.
Well, look, I mean, look how they sent people in that were with her and left with her to scream, kill Michelle Malkin, so it could then be put all over radio and TV and try to get me blackballed, and it almost happened until it backfired because other videos got up on YouTube showing that they were with her, that the whole deal was staged, and then she had to back off and admit I didn't say that. But that was that was very close.
Yeah, very bad. Alan, are you there?
Yes.
I want a question for both, maybe you could both answer. Knowing that disdain that the elite have for the black race, you know, why would they pick Obama for president? And will it play out that Obama's going to be exposed and Biden be inaugurated?
Well, what's going to happen is they're going to use him as a puppet for a while, then they're going to destroy his name forever, and yes, it will be used away to demonize black people. Comments, Alan Watt.
Black people, and then Hillary, I think if he steps down, will take over as president, and then she'll be even worse. They always put in a female in history. In the bloodiest periods, you'll find that's the way of doing it. They love symbolism, and they love the routine.
Yeah, the goddess will extract the blood.
Yes, and so that's how they would set up. So demonize one, and probably it will cause some kind of civil war within the U.S. If this sparks off. Obama will use all the forces that have been put on the books by the Bush regime. He set up the machinery for it. Obama will use it. He'll be hated. He'll probably eventually step down or go off sick. He'll just leave us sick. And Hillary will probably take over, and then, of course, she'll be the real vixen that will use ultimate force.
Tim, hold on. We're coming back to the full audience. I'll let you have one more comment. Appreciate you calling. Here we go. Okay, let's hurry. Let's hurry here. And Tim, finish up the comments from Ohio, then Sherry and others. I want to jam in a few more here.
Just the follow-up to my question was, if they do not have Obama or Biden in, what are the chances of Cheney and little old temporary Bush remaining in power after Inauguration Day due to some type of false?
Look, I don't – look, they want a new puppet to get – I mean, they've invested too much in Obama. I believe he's going to go into office, and then it's going to be really serious. Alan Watt.
No, I concur with that, yeah.
All right, got to jump, Tim. Appreciate the call. Let's talk to Sherry in Texas. Sherry, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey. Hey, Alan. I just wanted to say that you're my sociological guru. I think you're right on the money. I know you've been studying these systems for a long time, and I really think you know what you're talking about. My question for you is, how are the elite able to get such strong people, you know, like in the upper middle class, in America, to accept the dehumanization and also the iatrogenocide? Basically, the doctors are killing people here.
It's ambient. You know, it's incremental. They've slowly upgraded it until we're at a fever pitch. Let's get Alan's take on that.
Yes, it's incremental. It's intergenerational dehumanization. You have three generations sitting watching television together, and the oldest is embarrassed at regular fare for viewers and entertainment. The young ones don't mind. The one in the middle is already accepting it. So So it's intergenerational indoctrination and propaganda.
That's right.
And dehumanization.
That's right. They train people to love tyranny, to love evil, to feel like they're part of the winning team, to associate themselves with the system. And again, they act like sex and violence and destruction is cool, and you know the nerds just don't understand. Really, they're searing the conscience so you'll accept your neighbors being drug off or yourself being drug off. And so when you're being drug off, your neighbors will accept it. Sherry?
That's exactly right. And also, as far as the cancer rate here, it's just skyrocketing.
Yeah.
And they actually have a big room with all these comfy chairs that, where all the ladies who have cancer, they sit and they get to socialize while they get their chemo.
And they make it fun thing. Yeah. I appreciate your call. We're out of time, Sherry, and I apologize to Tom, Elliot, Grace, and others. Next time Alan's on, you can call in. You'll go to the head of the line. Alan Watt, I really want to appreciate you coming on the show, cuttingthematrix.com. Give folks your European mirror site.
Yes, Alan Watt, sentinel.eu, and you can transcripts, you can download and print up in the different languages.
All right, we appreciate all your time, and we appreciate your tireless work for humanity. I want to talk to you again coming up early in the new year as things develop and things unfold. Thank you, Alan Watt.
It's been a pleasure, Alex.
Always a pleasure having you on, a true gentleman. We got a lot of information out in that show today. We've been live for almost 2 hours at PrisonPlanet.tv. If you're watching the live streams, we're also going to be posting this for PrisonPlanet.tv members in the highest quality that we have up on PrisonPlanet.tv. And we're about to upgrade. You know, the films I post are in super high, almost high def. These, so they can be streamed out, are in lower quality, but we're about to start encoding and recording another copy that's in even higher quality to post for PrisonPlanet.tv members in the next few weeks. We are working to make it all as good as we can for you. Before I end this broadcast, I do want to tell you that the rebroadcast is coming up with Congressman Ron Paul at the very start. It'll be re-airing on AM and FM stations across the country whenever they rebroadcast us, and on WWCR from 9 to 1 a.m. This evening. But right now on the streams, he was on at the 5 after at Infowars.com on the restreams. And you can download, of course, the free podcast there as well. Get prepared. Get self-sufficient. And one big way to do that is eFoodsDirect.com. The letter E, foodsdirect.com. Big banners up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. This is the highest quality storable foods company for the best price I've found. Non-GMO, healthy, grown right here in America. Food stores for more than 10 years in climate control. 10 years in non-climate control. 800-409-5633. 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. We had Mike Rivero on. We had Alan Watt on and Ron Paul right now when we come back on the internet streams at Infowars.com. But be sure and check out eFoodsDirect.com or 800-409-5633. Great job to the crew, the affiliates, the sponsors, John Harmon, everybody. God bless you all. PrisonPlanet.tv.